more, and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, festering progressives, ineffectual intellectuals. Get out and do something, will you? Conservatives, good morning to you. Thanks for listening in just so you can write emails to try and say, you guys are wrong, we caught you, you're wrong, you're wrong. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Ineffectual intellectuals?
You dig that one?
I like that.
Yeah, I got that out of a bathroom at a macrobiotic restaurant 2 days ago.
Listen, by the way, you got my explosives, man?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You got my share of the 380 tons?
Dude, those were gone when we got here.
Damn.
Yeah, they were gone when we got here.
Ooh,
yeah, sorry,
I didn't realize
man.
It vibrated like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, man. It's got the piano effect, the
yeah,
piano
be
string
careful because we don't want to trip anything in here, right? But 380 tons, man, I want my share, okay?
Yeah, well, as soon as we figure out who got them and,
And when they went missing.
Ineffectual intellectual, though, came from the bathroom of Suen Restaurant, which I go to down on 13th. A great place. It's good, healthy food. And it just said ineffectual intellectual. Act Up. I don't know how long it was there, whether it was the gay movement Act Up or what, but ineffectual intellectual, I like it.
That's and it's on a bathroom wall. You know, the last thing I saw on a bathroom wall?
What?
A long time ago. Now.
Okay.
When I worked in the post office.
Yeah.
When they had the Why You Think They Call It Dope anti-drug campaign.
Yeah.
And somebody wrote on the wall, Why You Think They Call It Dope? Because your mama is a dope.
Yeah, that's the last thing you saw.
That's the last thing I saw on the bathroom wall. I'll tell you that now.
Come on, man. You're not doing any reading on those bathroom walls. Or maybe you don't go to the public bathrooms anymore.
I don't go to public bathrooms anymore.
See, back in the day, you
needed
to.
I'm a private man.
I'll tell you, there's some part of me that's still like, if I'm at a restaurant or a nightclub and there's a bathroom at the restaurant or nightclub that's a single occupancy with a lock, I'm like, man, if I were doing blow still, you know what I mean? Like,
you'd be in there for an hour.
Fighting the private places. But that's not what we're talking about here. No. We don't have to talk about my drug problem. We could talk about George Bush's drug problem because there's more information coming out that still, on his National Guard server, speculates that there's still a gap that, for some reason he started flying training planes as opposed to the fighters that he was supposed to be flying. There's still not a lot of people, if any. One guy maybe saw him in Alabama. Could be a drug problem. Could be just, that he didn't care. But the truth of the matter is the precedent that sets is that, he doesn't take responsibility for anything. He doesn't seem to remember his own history. And he's been taken care of his entire life. But the real issue this morning is, and what we're going to be hitting again today, is first I want to respond to some emails. Who I think that, we got some emails about reporting yesterday about the nearly 380 tons of missing munitions from Al-Qaeda, in Iraq.
Yes.
Okay, now I got some, I just want to read these right out. Hey, Jew boy. But tonight's NBC News reported 380 tons of powerful conventional explosives were already missing back in April 10, 2003, when U.S. troops arrived at the installation south of Baghdad. An NBC News crew embedded with troops moved into security Al-Qaeda weapons facility on April 10, 2003, one day after the liberation of Iraq. According to NBC News, the HMX and RDX explosives were already missing when the American troops arrived. BS! Quote, the U.S. Army was at the site one day after the liberation. The weapons were already gone, end quote. A top Republican blaster from Washington late Monday. Yeah, well, we're going to deconstruct this, dummy. All right, here's the other thing. My carpool guys pointed out that the TV news last night said the explosives were gone when we invaded Iraq and told me this is an example of why I should not be forcing them to listen to you guys in the AM. I think they are right this time. Well, these are probably the same type of carpool guys that would be the first to criticize, a network news outlet of being liberal if they sense a slant the other way. It's amazing how these cowards, these two-faced, disingenuous, dirtbag Republican people are willing to sort of take the bait from any news outlet as long as it fits their agenda. They'll criticize when it doesn't fit their agenda. They are spineless and without character, and they're liars. All right, that's the quote now. There, Mark and Mark, while I doubt that this message will make it through, message will make it through the masses that must be received on a daily basis, I am sending it regardless. It goes without saying that our fine nation has been split, or relatively close to being split, on the candidates. Reason are as multiple as are the candidates' messages. Well, wow, that's deep. All right, what is disheartening to hear is, quote-unquote, air personalities convey information that would appear that neither of you have taken the time to research. Wrong! We researched it! That's why we did it! Rather rely on other media news sources. One would think that given the Rather fiasco, an intuitive investigative journalist would take the time to research facts before spewing such venomous retort about lost 300 tons of explosives as both of you have this morning. Well, it turns out we were right.
Yes.
Can I say, ha, 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 shut it!
Yeah. Hey, we were never wrong about the fact the explosives are missing. No one denies that the explosives are missing.
But all these dummies, including the White House, in their own spin machine, and you guys choose to believe your White House, okay? But I guess possibly, let me finish it. But I guess it possibly reflective of the show in general. As I've listened in over the past several weeks, I have to say, if this show is a reflection of the type of reporting that is being leveraged to help Mr. Kerry in his would-be election efforts, it's no wonder that he has made little or no ground over the past 3 weeks. Really? Which polls are you reading? Seems like it's a pretty tight race. No one's kicking any ass here. You know what I mean? This is going to be a tight race all the way to the go, all the way to the election. Do your show a favor and try not to insult those of us that take the time to research and read factual information. Information, not information. Well, look, you know, clearly you didn't read your facts quite properly, and clearly, you know...
Let's do the timeline.
Here's what happened. Here's what happened. The missing weapons timeline, January 2003. International Atomic Energy Association inspectors confirmed that nearly 380 tons of high explosives are at Al-Qaqa.
March 15, 2003, just 4 days before the start of the Iraq War, IAEA inspectors return to Al-Qaqa and find explosives are still there. The seals on the doors of the bunkers they checked had not been tampered with, according to the IAEA. And I want to make sure you all know who that is. That's the International Atomic Energy Association.
April 4, 2003, 16 days after invasion, troops from the 3rd Infantry arrive at Al-Qaqa to find looters everywhere, quote, unquote, looters everywhere, taking as many weapons as they could. 16 days after the invasion.
This is 16 days after the invasion, according to people in charge of the 3rd Infantry.
Right.
Let's be real clear about that. April 10th, the 2nd Brigade of the Army's 101st Airborne Division, accompanied by NBC reporter Lai Lingju, spends one night at Al-Qaqa on their way to Baghdad. Lai Ling later reports they saw no weapons, although the troops did not conduct a detailed search of the 1,000-building complex, nor did they try to prevent looting. Now, if someone says they're not trying to prevent looting, does that kind of imply that maybe there was sort of a little bit of looting going on while the 101st was there?
Who knows? The truth of the matter is they knew that this place was, you know, full of weapons because it was in the report. You know, it was in the, you know, IAEA report. It was in the United Nations Inspectors report. They knew that the place was loaded, and they still had a bunch of troops, a squadron, stop there as a pit stop. You know, how about putting a couple of guys on it? Why let this happen? That's the big oversight, is not only were these troops there, not only was this embedded reporter there, and they spun, I'm going to go into that after the break, you know, what really happened on the news that you people trust, yet you will turn on if they don't fit your agenda, Republican liars, is that what they chose to do was keep moving.
Here's the thing, Mark, and this is something that even your emailing friends will have to, our emailing friends will have to admit. Your first priority, if you are going to war against someone, is to disarm them, okay?
Right.
To take their weapons away from them. That's what you're going to fight for.
Yeah.
If you have caches, if you come across caches of weapons, if you have reason to believe that weapons are kept somewhere, it would seem to me if you are invading a country, your first order of business would be to secure unsecured ordnance.
That's right.
I don't like to talk in military talk because I've never been in the service myself.
Yeah.
But I do know that if there are reports, and there apparently were reports, the IAEA said in January that there were 380 tons of these explosives there. Now, unless the United States government wasn't listening at the time, it would seem to make logical sense that the first order of business is that you go to Al-Qaqa and secure 760,000 pounds worth of ordnance?
Yeah, here's the deal. The weapons were there before we invaded. Bush's people knew the weapons were there. Bush's people didn't secure the weapons. The weapons were stolen and are likely now fueling the insurgency and being used against U.S. troops. It's Bush's fault. Now we're going to cover the last 3 days on the news and why you dummies were deterred. It's 15 past the hour, Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at MorningSedition.com, where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
45 million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering healthcare costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and healthcare costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of healthcare.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make. Serious?
It was 1979, Pittsburgh. I was 14. Me and Dad used to grill hot dogs in the backyard and listen to the ball game on the radio. This one particular night in October, it was just me and Moms. You see, Pop played for the Pirates, and he was about to hit the longest home run I'd ever seen. Bringing him back from a 3-1 deficit and winning the last World Series of the decade. I'll never forget that moment, and this year, I'm going to share that with my kids.
The World Series is on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120.
Is your child included in your activities? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our world today, it seems like we often segregate children from our daily living. We separate the kids from the adults at events we attend, in sports we play, at church, and at work. If we really want our children to learn from us, then it is absolutely necessary that they see us in our regular routine. We need to keep them joined at the hip. Let's teach our children life's lessons by including them when we do housework, yard work, run errands, and even at work when possible. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hey, America. My name is Amir. I'm a truck driver. I was born and raised in the Middle East. We're not all terrorists. Now I am a proud citizen of the United States of America. This country has done a lot for me. Do not take America for granted. So I try to return the favor to my favorite country by volunteering whenever I can, performing jury duty whenever I am called on, and most importantly, make sure I vote every chance I get. Get out and vote. May God bless America. Thank you.
My name's Daryl from Blackfoot, Idaho, and I feel that Americans that do not vote should have their rights to free speech stripped away.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
You love the game. You love your team. And you love your friends and family. So to get home safely, you hand off your keys to a sober designated driver. America's all-star team of sports leagues, stadium service partners, brewers, broadcasters, and traffic safety experts thank the sober designated drivers who make sure you buckle up and get home safely. For more information on techniques for effective alcohol management, visit www.teamcoalition.org.
Good morning, geniuses.
Yeah.
Philosopher kings.
Yeah.
Working class heroes.
Yeah.
Talk about the issues.
Yeah.
Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Morning Sedition.
We're fighting for our lives here.
How's everybody out there? Fire truck.
Am I stupid?
No. Right. Like they say uptown, talking more spit than a little bit.
Fire truck.
You're a heartless individual.
Hey, you guys, help me out.
Dog. 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 Dog of the week.
Yahtzee.
Oh, yeah.
John Kerry took my shoe. Forget about it.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about it. Morning sedition. Forget about it. Morning sedition.
Yeah.
Let me introduce the people here. Kalo is on the board. Smarty Pants Larson in the booth. Brendan, P.W. McDonald. Dan Passman, son of Lewis and Linda Passman of New Jersey in the other room. Morning sedition. Coming in for landing. Good morning. On Wayne.
No. Can I leave now?
There you go. 21 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
On Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. If you're listening to us on WLIB in New York City, we now have traffic and weather.
Don't go anywhere.
So you can hang out.
That's right.
You know, it's a very exciting thing for us here. Now, continuing on with the 370 to 80 tons of missing munitions from Al-Qaqa, here's what happened over the last few days. And this is why, you know, this administration is of course, devious and full of crap. All right, Monday morning, the New York Times reports that nearly 380 tons of powerful conventional explosives, are missing from one of Iraq's most sensitive former military installations, and that the Bush administration officials say that they cannot explain why the explosives were not safeguarded. Okay, cannot explain why the explosives were not safeguarded. Monday afternoon, a Pentagon spokesman says U.S.-led coalition troops had searched Al-Qaqa in the immediate aftermath of the March 2003 invasion and confirmed that the explosives, which had been under International Atomic Energy Agency seal since 1991, were intact. That's very important. They were there. They were intact. This was after the invasion. Monday evening, NBC reporter Leilin Ju says when she was embedded with American troops when they visited Al-Qaqa on April 10, 2003, the day after Baghdad fell, she did not see any explosives. Bush campaign officials latch on to the report as evidence that the weapons may have been removed before the invasion. How disingenuous, how disgusting, how despicable, after a Pentagon spokesman said that they were there, and then again they repeated and they said that after the invasion they were intact, that they latched on to a woman who wasn't even saying that they weren't there. She stopped by the place, you know, on the way to Baghdad with a bunch of troops. There's over 1,000 buildings in this compound at Al-Qaqa. They looked in none of them, and yet they latched on to her saying she didn't see any explosives as being evidence that they might have, you know, been gone already, just to spin it, you know, away from the president, to deflect it. You know, it's disgusting. All right, Tuesday afternoon on MSNBC, the NBC reporter says the 24-hour visit by elements of the 101st Airborne Division was more of a pit stop, to quote, and that U.S. troops did not conduct a detailed search of the 1,000-building complex, nor did they try to prevent looting. Tuesday afternoon, Bush's aides moderate their views, saying it was a, quote-unquote, mystery when the explosive disappeared, and, quote, the bottom line is that there is still a lot that is not known. No, there isn't. This is the way this presidency does things. There's no mystery. The weapons were there when we went in. They were not secured properly. They were taken and probably put into the hands of the insurgency, either on purpose through negligence or just out of incompetence. All right, Tuesday night, Tom Brokaw, echoing the statements of Bush's aides, calls the case of the missing weapons a, quote-unquote, complicated story. He also stresses that NBC's report never said there were no weapons, simply that their reporter didn't see any. So now, who's complicit? Maybe NBC is your station, Republicans, because we've got a major news dude saying that this might be too complicated for you dummies to understand, i.e. Republicans. Maybe you should just go ahead and go with the information we already had with Leilin Ju, and you know, they didn't see any, so that's enough for you people. It eats me up, Riley, because this is one of those things that the Bush administration does. Throw out as many point of views as possible, even within one mouthpiece. Even the president will sort of flip-flop around and waffle and say three or four different things, and that way the truth just dissolves because you have this buffet of confusion to pick from, and who the hell knows?
But you know what? If you separate everything that's on the buffet table, it still spells one thing: gross incompetence. Let's say for the sake of argument that the administration is absolutely right, and that those weapons were not, in fact, there when the 101st Airborne got there after the invasion. Well, where did they go? Remember that Iraq was being heavily surveilled. We know this because they actually showed photographs before the United Nations. Colin Powell did some months earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They had been heavily surveilling Iraq in the run-up to the invasion.
Yeah.
So how come they didn't know? If let's say that Saddam moved them during that time, how come they didn't know?
380 tons, man. I could see that with a telescope from my apartment in Queens.
Yeah, 760,000 pounds. So even if you take the administration at its word and say, oh, okay, they were not there when the 101st got there. The question is, how come nobody knew where they were?
Yeah.
You are invading a country with weapons.
But
it would seem to me if you have respect for your own troops,
yeah,
you would see to it that any weapons that your enemy had the opportunity to access were denied them.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is this administration did nothing.
Right.
Nothing whatsoever.
And let's also
see to that.
Right, exactly. And let's make clear also that they were there.
Yes, they were there. I'm just taking a worst case administration, yeah. Steve Schmidt, Dan Bartlett, Scott Stinkin' Melman perspective.
Bartlett, what a spineless, soulless turd that guy is. Can you imagine having that job, having that personality to where you can just, like, if you just take quotes from a week of Dan Bartlett's dumb mouth spewing off, it's amazing how many times he contradicts himself and evades the truth. What's at the core of that guy?
Ralph Cramden is at the core of that guy.
What's at the core of that guy? It's just a sad, damp pit. That's what's at the core of him.
But, you know, Mark, the thing that's amazing about those emails that we got is that there are people who are so intent on backing this administration's position and backing this administration in its own obvious incompetence. This is nothing but incompetence.
Dude, I called Colin Quinn on it last night, you know, in a fairly, you know, tepid, you know, tough crowd. You know, the first segment was a little, it just didn't, like, it never really picked up. But I just said, you don't think the president should take responsibility for this? And he looked at me right in the face and said, no.
No, no. Why should he? He wasn't there.
Yeah, but that's crazy.
Just like in the National Guard, he wasn't there.
It's crazy. I think it's all part of a conspiracy to, this is how they're going to, you know, not reinstitute a draft. You want to hear my fairly brief, complicated conspiracy theory? I think they allowed the insurgents to steal the weapons so they could be armed to the teeth, and that way the war would go on for a long time, and they could completely deplete the government's, treasury, right, thus forcing us to privatize social programs, okay,
yeah,
thus, you know, creating a larger disparity between rich and poor, more disenfranchised people, so young people will have to enlist just to have, like, a place to sleep and good and food to eat on a day-to-day basis.
You know, you may not be that far wrong. I'll be honest with you. There are people who believe that Bush really does want to create as few options as possible for working poor young people so that they will have to end up going in the Army without, or in the armed services without having to institute a draft, which he's promised not to do,
right,
which we all know if he wins a second term, he'll lie and institute
probably
it anyway.
Jim Moore coming.
Yeah, Jim Moore's coming, and Ramon's going.
That's right.
He just left. We got the presidential palm rally coming up, the liberal agenda, and Jim Moore. We're going to talk Texas politics when we continue here on Air America Radio.
Eco victory for Yellowstone Park. Federal Judge Emmett Sullivan says no go to snowmobiles.
The judge determined that the ruling of the Bush administration was in violation of the intent of the Organic Act of the National Parks. The levels of snowmobiles in either case were outrageously high.
That's Alfred Runty, author of National Parks, The American Experience.
The big environmental hazard has been to the wildlife and to the quality of the air. But there's a more fundamental issue, and that is, why have snowmobiles in the national parks in the first place? We're supposed to go there and enjoy nature.
The court ruling marks the beginning of a phase-out of snowmobiles in Yellowstone.
Snowmobiles are cut back in half for this year, from 900 to 460-some machines. Next year, there will be a total elimination of snowmobiles.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
On Sirius, we strive to bring you the best that the sports world has to offer.
Warm beer, high-priced tickets, and stale popcorn?
I don't think so.
Now on Saturdays, it's College Football Day, beginning with the kickoff show at 5 a.m. Sirius College Coaches Show at 9. A doubleheader of exciting game day action. And then we finish it with the ultimate post-game show, The Wrap-Up, hosted by Jerry Recco. From dawn to dusk, Saturday is College Sports Radio Day on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Suzanne's account has been debited without her permission. I'll help her fix this after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Suzanne noticed something about her checking account.
I noticed a bank draft that was taken out for $139. I called my bank. It was a pharmacycards.com. I called the company, and she said that a pharmacy card was sent to us. We had 5 days to return it. Since we didn't return it, they debited our account.
How did they get your account?
She said, well, they must have gotten it from one of their business partners.
Well, tell her you're going to sue her for $10 million unless the money is in the account within 24 hours because you're a thief, and I'm getting ready to turn you over to the Federal Trade Commission. Jump all over them. But, yeah, I mean, you just need to jump their case and probably have the bank put a stop payment on it because of fraud.
Bank said that there's nothing they can do. They can't flag my account.
Well, tell them we're going to close your account. Bank someplace else if you guys can't do anything about it. It needs to just be a block put on your account for this company. That's what you've got to go to.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
You can have 20 million people around you all the time. When you don't have love for yourself, you're lonely.
Mary J. Blige, recording artist.
Drugs used to make me feel no pain at all. Once the feeling is gone, you're back to feeling like you're nobody. Love starts from inside you. I just accepted who I was.
I accepted Mary.
That feels the loneliness when you really love you. It's a way of healing.
A message from the Partnership for Drug-Free America.
Research shows that the highest achieving students attend schools with good library media centers. It's easy to see why. School library media centers across the country have been helping teachers bring lessons to life. With computers, videos, books, and more for years. The Campaign for America's Libraries reminds you that school library media specialists help students develop the information searching skills they need to succeed throughout their lives.
All systems ready.
Cool. Lifelong learning begins at your library.
Past the hour. That's Mark Riley sitting over there.
I'm Mark.
I see you, man.
He owes me money.
No, he owes me money.
Uh-oh.
No, you don't. I'm Mark Maron. That's Kale on the board. Clutch Larson in the booth. P.W. McDonald out there on the
That's
phone.
That's P.E. McDonald to you.
Yeah?
That's Peanut Eater.
Oh, yeah. So we got to switch to P.W.P.E. McDonald. Yes. We're going to touch base with Brendan maybe after the election on his experimenting with peanut diary. Somehow or another, his peanut allergy was lifted by the grace of the great peanut god. And now
would that be George Washington Carver, perhaps?
Yes, absolutely. The spirit of George Washington Carver has eased P.W. McDonald of his peanut allergy, and now he's P.E. McDonald and experimenting with all things peanut.
That's right.
Dan Pashman, of course, you know, out in the night, you know, making a wrap sandwich of some sort and, you know, looking for information. But moving into what we're talking about, we've got, you know, Ramon, of course, is talking to Pashman, and apparently, remember, he lost part of his ear?
Yeah.
Well, he got it laminated, and it's now on it, like, it's like in, it's suspended in plastic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he's made a keychain out of it. It's weird, man. This dude is, I don't know, anyways, here's the president's schedule. 7:30 a.m., wake up, stay on message. 380 tons of missing explosives is really not that much if you compare it to, say, 500 tons or even 750 tons. See, it's nothing. 11:10 a.m. Speak at rally, Lancaster Airport, Lititz, PA. No, I'm such a child. Because when you look at how Lititz is spelled, it makes you want to say
something else.
Yeah, no. Compliment the Amish on the airport. Tell them it's very plain. 1:55 p.m. Speak at rally, Deanna, Ohio. Note, tell them, quote, John Kerry doesn't come to Ohio as obsessively and panicked as I do. Love me. Hold me. End quote. 4 p.m. Speak at rally, Hancock County Fairgrounds, Findlay, Ohio. Note, speak to same people I spoke to 2 weeks ago. At this point, greet them by name. Ask about Chuck's gallstones. 6 p.m. Call Jeb. Demand to know where those 58,000 missing absentee ballots in Broward County went to. Pause and share a good, long, bonding laugh. We never see each other anymore. 8 p.m. Call Lowy. Tell him the death of 50 unarmed soldiers isn't, quote-unquote, gross negligence. The death of 3,000 civilians after you were warned repeatedly. That's gross negligence. 8:30 p.m. Call Sinclair Broadcasting. Suggest weekend programming. John Kerry flip-flop marathon plus senior golf highlights. 10 p.m. bedtime in Rochester, Michigan. Note, those damn Red Sox. When I'm baseball commissioner next year, I'm moving that franchise to San Antonio. You want a curse? I'll give you a curse. We didn't get to the Alawi story. We're going to get to it. It's very important. He's actually breaking ranks with the Prez. But right now it's important that we shift focus to Tom, the bug killer delay, or as he's known, I guess, more officially as the hammer delay, is under fire from the House Ethics Committee, and, you know, God knows he deserves it, and I think Jim Moore knows he deserves it, too. On the phone, the author of Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush President, and the author of Bush's War for Reelection, Iraq, the White House, and the People. Good morning, Jim Moore. How are you?
Hey, Jim.
Oh, how are you guys?
All right.
We're pretty good. We're all juiced up. We're ready for action here.
You guys are always rock and rolling very early in the morning.
I know. It's exciting, you know what I mean? We're up all night doing the work and it's completely without medication, Jim.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. Now tell us what's going on with the bug killer, or as you call him, the hammer delay. Why is who are the Texans for Republican majority and what's going on with this criminal delay controversy here?
Well, TRIMPAC was an organization that DeLay put together, and the idea was to get corporate money into Texas legislative races so that there would be Republicans now in all of the legislative districts in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a law in Texas that, in one of the few states that have such a law, that you cannot make corporate contributions. Corporations cannot influence state elections, and they figured out a way to try to circumvent the law with this organization, TRIMPAC. And so the district attorney in Austin is going after him.
Well, that's good, because he's a pretty powerful guy. I mean, when Kerry becomes president, he's going to be the Republican point man, so it's important that we take him down now, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's interesting because Ronnie Earl, the district attorney who's going after him, has gone after, like, Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison. He didn't get her. He went right to the courtroom, and the judge wouldn't allow some of the evidence introduced. He's prosecuted the state's attorney general, who's a Democrat in the past, the House Speaker, who's a Democrat in the past, about 12 Democrats, and he's had some successes, but most of these high-profile cases have been failures, and he's at the end of his career, and it's pretty clear that he's determined to get DeLay because he thinks that DeLay has really played fast and loose with the law and has gone around it. So, and I don't think he'd be pushing the case. I think he'd be walking away unless he thought he really had something.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
But, Jim, you know, there have already been three of DeLay's associates who've been indicted in Texas for this malfeasance going back 2 years, but DeLay has yet to face any criminal charges. Well, you know, the congressional censure may be one thing, but why hasn't he faced any criminal sanctions?
Well, I think I think that he's being very careful. I compare this in some ways to what Fitzgerald is doing in the Valerie Plame investigation. I think the DA is going after the little guys and making as good a case as he can first before he goes after the big dog. And, you know, he's got John Caliandro, who ran TRIMPAC in Texas. He's been indicted, and John Ellis, DeLay's chief of staff, has been indicted down there. And, the idea, obviously, is to build a strong case and probably then go to those guys and say, okay, now, you want to talk, you want to make some deals, because we're interested in the guy who put all this together and he was trying to separate himself from its actual daily function and say he wasn't involved. And, you know, maybe one of those guys will roll over on DeLay and give DeLay to the prosecutor.
Are any of them facing enough time to make that happen? I mean, are they facing something that would cause them to flip?
Oh, yeah. This is a pretty serious law in Texas. I think the sanctions, the penalties are like up to 10 years for breaking this.
Oh, yeah, that'll make you flip, all right.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are in midlife. That's a good chunk of your life to take away and ruin your career. And, I mean, you know, if you're all you're doing is doing what the boss told you to do, why take the fall for him?
Yeah, so, Jim, if you think he's going to get reelected, though?
Oh, got it. Hands down.
Okay.
Hands down. But look, things have been happening in his district where, you know, he's been invited to a couple of debates, and he's been so far ahead in the past that he doesn't even show up to these debates. And all of a sudden, he showed up to this debate at a high school in his district a couple of nights ago, you know, after saying that he absolutely was not going to appear. And he started a campaign and move around the district in ways that he has not done in the past because he hasn't really needed to. But he's still probably ahead of his challenger, 60-40, and he's raising money, and he's going to get reelected.
Did you notice any, like, weird pack on his back under his jacket? Or let me ask you, like, what role, you know, when Kerry becomes president, how powerful a role will DeLay play?
Well, the House is obviously going to stay Republican, barring some unforeseen miracle. And DeLay is going to, you know, he's going to be a royal pain in Kerry's side if Kerry becomes president, because he's going to try to stop everything that comes through. I mean, this is a guy who is motivated. DeLay has always been motivated more by power and revenge than public service. And every time he gets a chance to turn anything into a political gain, he'll do it. He has the power and the influence within the House chamber to make the new president's life utterly miserable, and he'll do it.
Jim Moore is our guest. He's a journalist, co-author of the 2003 New York Times bestseller, Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush Presidential. You can get his book through our website at morningsedition.com. Jim, how much political capital do you think? Let's assume Tom DeLay gets reelected. How much political capital will he have to spend in Washington to make whatever happens in Texas go away?
Well, the truth is, he's not going to be able to make this go away because this is obviously the DA who's doing the prosecuting in this case is a Democrat for one thing, but take the politics out of it. This is turned into a huge investigation in Texas, and there's also one thing we haven't talked about is this civil lawsuit. You know, and this is the civil lawsuit involving DeLay is also starting to get a lot of publicity. So DeLay is being sued by some state representatives from Texas now. When DeLay was forcing redistricting in Texas and it brought all of his influence and money to the state to get the state congressional and legislative lines redrawn, the Democrats, who were in the minority already, decided they weren't going to take it, and they skipped out of the state so they didn't have to vote on this law that was basically going to vote them all out of office, and they went up to Oklahoma and hid out. When they went, one of the people who went was the House Speaker, and he flew his plane. And DeLay called the Department of Homeland Security, he called the Texas Department of Public Safety, and he called the FAA and demanded that the two federal agencies and a state agency look for this aircraft, you know. So there are questions about how he abused his authority for political purposes in that regard, and so there's a civil lawsuit on all of that. So if you combine that with this criminal investigation and how they circumvented the law for raising money for Republicans down there, I don't think it's going away, no matter what Toxic Tom does in D.C.,
Yeah. All right. So Toxic Tom, that's one nickname. Quickly, what's the hammer referring to?
Well, the hammer is just about what a hard guy he is, and he does the dirty work, the hard work of banging on people to make things happen for Republicans.
And it all started in a career of banging on bugs, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
America would be a much better place if that guy was still running around with a little bag of chemicals on his back, killing bugs down in Texas, instead of making us all miserable.
Thanks, Jim. It's always good to talk to you.
Take care,
pleasure,
Jim.
Guys.
All right, take care. We'll be back. We're going to start the Alawi discussion, and also we'll have the liberal agenda. It's 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
And now, haiku. From professional wrestler Mick Foley.
Bushes are quite small. Trees are large and powerful. Kerry is a tree.
This has been Morning Sedition Haiku with Mick Foley.
Hi, this is Al Franken, and I care about who's elected president on November 2nd. And it's never been more important who we choose for the future of America. So listen up. Right now, the polls in the Buckeye State show a deadlock, and the fact of the matter is, it's all going to come down to the ground game and who wants it more. You know, Paul Wellstone used to say that the future belongs to those who are passionate and work hard. Well, the future is in your hands, and I'm asking you to be passionate and work hard by contributing your time and money to the Ohio Democratic Party. Go to ohiodems.org. Ohiodems.org. That's not hard to remember, is it? Ohiodems.org. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves to save money for a rainy day. This is it. This is that rainy day. We can't let these people take this country in the wrong direction for four more years. Do yourself, your children, your country a favor. Volunteer or write a check by going to ohiodems.org.
This ad is paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Dennis White Chair.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yepeka, it knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
It was 1979, Pittsburgh. I was 14. Me and Dad used to grill hot dogs in the backyard and listen to the ball game on the radio. This one particular night in October, it was just me and Moms. You see, Pop played for the Pirates, and he was about to hit the longest home run I'd ever seen. Bringing them back from a 3-1 deficit and winning the last World Series of the decade. I'll never forget that moment, and this year, I'm going to share that with my kids.
The World Series is on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120.
How are you at hellos and goodbyes? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The way we greet our spouse and the way we tell them goodbye can really set the tone for the whole day or evening. So try to practice these three steps to a great hi and bye. 1. Make eye contact so they'll feel like they have your attention. Next, include some physical affection, a kiss or a hug. And finally, keep your words pleasant. It's not the time for complaints or controversy. Make your hellos and goodbyes meaningful. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the air. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip. It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I will be at Cobb's Comedy Club this Friday and Saturday night in San Francisco as part of Stand Up for Your Rights Part 2 with Will Durst, Kevin Rooney, and many other comics will be there. You can go to www.cobbscomedyclub.com for info and tickets. We've got a great show today. We've got Greg Palast, one of the great investigative journalists of our time, is going to be here later in the show. Congresswoman Corrine Brown is going to talk about some of the nastiness that's going on down in Florida around the elections and voter lists.
And there's a lot of that.
Yeah. Musician Roy Zimmerman is going to sing a couple songs. He's a song satirist who occasionally opens for me on the road. And, you know, just the stuff. If you're having some trouble with your voting, I'm just trying to get some information out there. I didn't do this at the top of the hour. I'd like to do it now. If you have any problems, any suspicions, any shenanigans that you witness, 866-OUR-VOTE is the number to call for law support. There are lawyers on call that will take up your case and hear you out and help you get you going in the right direction. To confirm your registration in polling place, call Common Cause at 866-MY-VOTE-1. To help get the vote out in swing states, you can go to morningsedition.com for all the links to this information. Overseas voters who need help casting the ballots can check out the Federal Voting Assistance Program at www.fvap.gov. And also, we're encouraging people to protect yourselves when you go to the polls. Bring a camera. Just bring a camera. Everyone's got one.
Still, video, it doesn't matter.
They got phones. They got phones that have video cameras on. Use them. Use them for something interesting. You know, have a little evidence. Have a little proof. Now, let's hear how George Bush feels about Prime Minister Iyad Alawi. This is going back a little ways. But let's hear what he had to say.
Prime Minister Alawi is now in charge of the country. He is a good, strong leader who cares deeply about the aspirations of his people. And he is somebody we're working with. If he's got some suggestions to make, we're more than willing to listen to him.
Well, what he had to say was, Riley...
he says that gross negligence by some elements of the military in Iraq, the U.S. military in Iraq, is partly to blame for the killing of 49 unarmed Army recruits and three drivers this past Saturday.
Huh. So he's breaking ranks with the president that, gave him his phony office.
Off the farm, off the reservation, off the plantation.
Huh.
He's going off on his own.
Huh.
And you think he's up for is he up for election in January? This could cost him a little.
Sure he is, you know, but I mean, he's obviously politicizing, not unlike our politicians do. You know, he's, spreading the blame around a little bit to make himself look like the common man's man.
Well, see, the problem that he's speaking to here is, I think, that the tremendous revulsion that a lot of on-the-ground Iraqis, I hate to use that term, indigenous Iraqis, feel about hearing 50 people getting killed like this.
Well, we talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that. It's like, why didn't they have guns? Why didn't they have an escort? You know, it was an inside job. Apparently, they're offering money to people who set these guys up. They're offering money to assassins within the operations of the Iraqi security forces.
Well, yeah, and here's a quote from the Iraq Interior Minister that should warm the cockles of everyone's heart. Quote, "Our forces are ill-equipped and poorly trained to tackle terrorism," unquote. Now, these are the Iraqi forces that are supposed to be trained by the United States to do just that. So if they don't do it, guess who has to do it?
Yeah.
American troops have to do it, as evidenced by the fact that now they are not shortening American deployments to Iraq like they had originally planned. They were originally going to cut them back from 12 months down to 6 to 9. They're keeping them at 12. Yeah. So people who are going over there are doing a minimum of a year, and I'm not sure exactly what the rules are about rotating people, but there's a ripple effect to all this. The ripple effect is, I'm sure some Iraqi army recruits took a look at those bodies and said, you know what? I don't care what they're paying. I'm not giving up my life for this. Number two, you've got the resentment on the ground. Number three, you've got the perception that Americans cannot protect Iraqis who are trying to work with them. That is a very, very dangerous perception.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And who was the guy within the Iraqi security force that said, okay, you guys, I got to get off the bus. You know, you're all set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, where's that guy? You know, it's like this information and the information about the stolen explosives, the 380 tons of munitions that could blow up a plane or create nuclear detonators, and the interim president of Iraq coming out, you know, against George W. Bush and being critical of him in this week. See,
that's the PM, by the way, the Prime Minister.
The Prime Minister, sorry. Yeah, the President's Minister's the hands-on dude.
Yeah.
So, but this is big news. You know, I thought this might have been like a sanctioned political move by Alawi, sanctioned by the U.S. government, but clearly there's no way it would have, not this week.
No, it's not sanctioned by the U.S. government, but what it is trying to do is establish his credibility with an Iraqi electorate that's going to have to vote on him in a couple of months.
Absolutely.
You know, they got to play sometimes both ends against the middle, and it doesn't hurt to blame the United States. It doesn't hurt him politically to blame the United States for this, but there is some blame that has to be laid at the doorstep of, again, a grossly incompetent administration. There's got to be a way. If you're training troops for combat, there's got to be a way to spot insurgents.
Sure.
You know, there's got to be some evidence. There's got to be some intelligence gathered so that, you know, granted, they're taking these poor kids off the streets of Iraq and you know, trying to make them into soldiers, and some of them obviously are holding lingering resentments. But the other side of this, Mark, is that there are new reports that the military is massing to invade Fallujah. We'll get to that.
Wow. And also, we got that UN story. But, yeah, here's the liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. Here we go. Write these down. Get breast implants. Call them your October surprise. Two, just for one night, pretend you really, really care about the Red Sox, just to make Carrie happy. Three, get involved in community politics in the swing state where you moved 30 days ago. Four, while investigating election fraud in Florida, go to Disney World. Make sure Goofy's vote is counted this time. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Six more days of this political stuff, man, and I'm back on the weed. God, I'm so stressed out, man. So the next hour, we got a lot of stuff. 10 Reasons Bush Must Go.
Yes, 10 Reasons Bush Must Go. We've got the Dream Diary, the Presidential Daily Briefing, and much, much more for you here on Air America Radio.
A safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There's disturbing news out of Florida this morning with the election just 6 days away. Secret document has surfaced within the ranks of the Bush campaign suggesting a plan is in play to disrupt voting in the state's African-American voting districts. Noted journalists Greg Palast, reporting for the BBC Newsnight, has uncovered two emails prepared for the executive director of the Bush campaign in Florida and the campaign's national research director in Washington, D.C., containing a 15-page so-called caging list. List, according to Palast, contains close to 2,000 names and addresses of voters in predominantly black and traditionally Democratic districts in the Jacksonville area of Florida. An election supervisor in Florida's capital, when shown the list, says the only reason why they would keep such a thing is to challenge voters on election day. Fueling the controversy is a comment from the supervisor, Ian Sancho, a Democrat, that Florida law allows political party operatives inside polling stations to stop voters from obtaining a ballot. And as a footnote to this report, investigative journalist Greg Palast will be Air America's special guest on Morning's Edition this morning. Stay tuned. In a somewhat related development, Local 10 News in Miami, Fort Lauderdale has received many phone calls from viewers in Broward County who say they have not received the absentee ballots and the news from the elections office does not sound good at all. Local 10 has learned that as many as 58,000 ballots that were supposed to be mailed out as of October 7th and 8th could be missing. Broward County Supervisor of Elections office is saying only that the situation is unusual and they are looking into it currently. Stella Salas, a Broward deputy election supervisor, said, "I hate to say missing at this time because that has not yet been substantiated. Some ballots are starting to arrive, but there is an extraordinary delay." In other news, if President Bush wins re-election, he'll owe it to voters who regularly go to the polls. If Senator John Kerry prevails, he'll have new voters to thank. Likely voters who cast a ballot in 2000 lean toward Bush 50-46%, according to USA Today, CNN Gallup surveys during the past 4 months. But likely voters who didn't go to the polls 4 years ago are overwhelmingly for Kerry 59-40%. These get-off-the-bench voters could be a decisive factor in the election, and they introduce an unpredictable element in the close race. There probably will be more of them than usual. 52% of those who didn't vote in 2000 say they are almost certain to go to the polls this year, though only half of them meet the survey criteria to be identified as likely voters. And after a 24-hour delay, the first response from the Bush White House has come on the issue of 380 tons of missing explosives from the Iraqi facility near Baghdad. Explanation in the form of an attack from Vice President Dick Cheney came yesterday on the campaign trail in Florida. Cheney says there's the possibility that the high-grade explosives may have been taken long before the Americans reached that region. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
On Sirius, we strive to bring you the best that the sports world has to offer.
Warm beer, high-priced tickets, and stale popcorn?
I don't think so.
Now on Saturdays, it's College Football Day, beginning with the kickoff show at 5 a.m. Sirius College Coaches Show at 9. A doubleheader of exciting game day action. And then we finish it with the ultimate post-game show, The Wrap-Up, hosted by Jerry Recco. From dawn to dusk, Saturday is College Sports Radio Day on Sirius Sports Action 123.
This is Earth and Sky. More than half the world's population depend on resources that come from the mountains, such as clean water.
That's according to Bill Bowman, director of the University of Colorado's Mountain Research Station. He told us that air pollution reaches even pristine alpine areas and affects the quantity and quality of the different species living there.
One of the main reasons why there's been a lot more concern about biodiversity is that there's a realization that we're losing diversity relatively quickly. So we need to turn our attention to better understand the consequences of the loss of that biodiversity.
Bowman and colleagues organized a symposium last summer at the meeting of the Ecological Society of America.
And so this symposium was organized to try to begin to relate what we know about diversity in mountain ecosystems into the functioning of those ecosystems. So we were trying to specifically relate it to things like water quality and water yield.
Bowman told us that standards set by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency aren't suited to the places he studied in the Rocky Mountains. He wishes that new EPA standards could be set specifically for the mountains.
For more with Bill Bowman, come to EarthSky.org. Thanks today to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, festering progressives, ineffectual intellectuals who are not willing to take action but certainly have a lot to say. Conservative listeners, good morning. Thank you. Thank you so much for your emails that turned out to be wrong. Yes. Nice to see you. Nice to talk to you. It's a pleasure to be here. How are you, Mark Riley?
I'm doing fine. Not like the conservatives who are full of caca.
Full of caca?
Caca.
Man, it's unbelievable what's going on around. First of all, I want to say to our WLIB in New York listeners, we do have traffic and weather now, so there's no reason to leave. I'd also like to start to parse out this whole, first let me also address that I was on Tough Crowd last night. Didn't have that great a time. It was a little dicey up front. It took a while to get a toehold. But there's this weird thing going around where I actually asked Colin. I said, you don't think that the president should take responsibility for this 370-plus tons of missing munitions from a plant that should have been secured, and the weapons were there when we invaded, and they knew they were there, but they didn't secure them because they were too busy getting on their way to the security oil fields, most likely? And why not let those weapons slip into the hands of the enemy just so the fight is interesting and we can dump all of our national treasury into arms contracts, thus breaking this country, creating a disparity between rich and poor that is almost, you can't even close the gap, and then after every, social service becomes privatized, the poor become so desperate that poor kids have to join the military just to have a place to sleep and regular meals. That's how he's going to avoid the draft. Anyways, that's just a conspiracy. But it's just a theory that I have. And then he says, well, what about CVS? What about CBS? So I asked him, shouldn't the president take responsibility? He said, no. And I go, why not? He goes, I don't think he should have to.
Really?
Yeah, he just
why? Because he wasn't
out
there?
Yeah, who cares why? Of course he should take responsibility. He's the commander-in-chief. And then he said, what about CBS not going to air the story, on the explosives until the day before Election Day? Well, first of all, 60 Minutes
is a weekly show.
It's a weekly show. It's on Sunday. And maybe they didn't want to air it last week because clearly there was some, lack of clarity about what really happened. So let's begin to parse it out. First, I want to read some of these emails. My carpool guys pointed out that the TV news last night said the explosives were gone when we invaded Iraq and told me this is an example of why I should not be forcing them to listen to you guys in the AM. I think they are right this time. The TV news last night said.
Which TV news?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Republicans are sort of interesting in that, they're willing to criticize the TV news if they think that it's spinning against them. But as soon as it supports them, they're like, hey, this Brokaw guy's all right. So now what is it? The Republicans are pro-NBC but anti-CBS. And it's ridiculous.
Parsing. That's what they're doing. Parsing.
Sure, sure. And then we had another one that basically said the same thing. And then there was one that was really condescending and so
sickening. You don't have to read the condescending ones.
Let's
give them airtime?
Let's talk about the facts. The facts are, Monday morning, the New York Times reports that nearly 380 tons of powerful conventional explosives are missing from one of Iraq's most sensitive former military installations, and that Bush administration officials say they cannot explain why the explosives were not safeguarded. Monday afternoon, and this is the doozy. A Pentagon spokesman says U.S.-led coalition troops had searched Al-Qaqa in the immediate aftermath of the March 2003 invasion and confirmed that the explosives, which had been under IAEA seal, that's the International Atomic Energy agency since 1991 were intact. They were there. They were intact after the invasion. All right. Monday evening, NBC reporter Leiling Zhu says when she was embedded with American troops when they visited Al-Qaqa on April 10, 2003, the day after Baghdad fell, she did not see any explosives. Bush campaign officials latch on to the report as evidence that the weapons may have been removed before the invasion. Because this woman, an embedded reporter, who was on their way to someone else, said, I didn't see any. All right? Did they look? Well, let's find out. Bush spokesman Steve Schmidt said the NBC report showed that Kerry's allegations about the missing weapons were baseless. So he's going back on his own Pentagon spokesperson, doing what the Bush administration does, putting, you know, 8 to 10 different points of view out on the same subject by 2 or 3 or 4 different people so that, you know, it's confusing. It shouldn't be confusing. Tuesday morning, Colonel Joseph Anderson, commander of the brigade that Leiling was with, says that his troops had not searched the site and had merely stopped there overnight. He says he did not learn until this week that the site was considered sensitive. Tuesday afternoon on MSNBC, the NBC reporter says the 24-hour visit by elements of the 101st Airborne Division was more of a pit stop and that U.S. troops did not conduct a detailed search of the 1,000 building complex, nor did they try to prevent looting because it wasn't important to them, because they were on their way somewhere else, even though they knew that there was 380 tons of things that could be made into nuclear detonators or blow up planes. Tuesday afternoon, Bush's aides moderate their view, saying it was a mystery when the explosives disappeared. And the bottom line is that there is still a lot that is not known. There isn't a lot that's not known. What is known is the munitions were there, they were sealed. When the invasion happened, they were there, they were not secured, and they were looted. Tuesday night, Tom Brokaw, echoing the statements of Bush's aides, calls the case of the missing weapons a complicated story. It's not, Tom, and you're only adding to the problem.
Okay, now, let me add a couple of things to what you just ran, because you ran a lot of stuff.
I got
to
breathe.
Right? Yeah. A lot of stuff. But let's add a couple of things. On Monday, in an interview with the Arab language newspaper Al Hayat, Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage, number two to Colin Powell in the State Department, says he was shocked by the report of the missing explosives, and he said, quoting here, looks to me like somehow the multinational force didn't stay on top of this.
See, isn't that interesting that he uses the phrase multinational force? These guys are willing to defer to the UN when they have to blame somebody for something. They're willing to defer to the coalition. Like, you know, he could have said, you know, we screwed up. No one ever says that. You got to bring other people into it when blame is the agenda to confuse people from the facts. The facts are the weapons were there before we invaded. Bush's people knew the weapons were there. Bush's people didn't secure the weapons. The weapons were stolen and are likely now fueling the insurgency and being used against U.S. troops, and it is Bush's fault as the commander-in-chief, but he will not say anything. He will not experience any contrition over this. He will not respond to it in a personal way. Kerry was right to attack him. He called him on it, and in a beautiful quote, he said, what else are you keeping from the American people? What else are you keeping besides everything?
Now, here's another aspect of this that people don't think about. Now, the United Nations has wanted to get involved in the investigation of where those weapons disappeared to. Why? Because the International Atomic Energy Agency is a nuclear watchdog for the United Nations. They were the ones that put these weapons under seal in January of 2003, so they have more than a passing interest, the world body does, in where they ended up.
Right.
The Soviet ambassador to the United Nations, a gentleman by the name of Andrei Denisov, says that the Security Council ought to look into where these weapons disappeared. And, of course, the United States says, well, we don't need the Security Council to check this out. Now, consider this for a moment. This is the same United Nations that George W. Bush went back to recently, asking for help to train Iraqi troops, to get involved in the reconstruction of Iraq. But when it comes to finding out what happened to all these weapons in, guess where, Iraq? We don't need the UN's help on this.
And he also was asking the UN to consider what to do with Iran, wasn't he? And this is the European nations, which is not the UN, but fine. You know, this is a president that does not want to ask anybody else for any help or defer to anybody other than his own sort of weird sense of misguided judgment that he calls God-given. Why don't you pipe in on it? 866-303-2270. You know, what are you feeling? You know, how are you reacting to this bit of not intelligence, this bit of truth.
Lack of intelligence.
You know, just what's on your mind. Give us a call. It's 15 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
45 million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering healthcare costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and healthcare costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of health care.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
Americans have a problem that few people are talking about, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage in this country. Divorce and depression has skyrocketed to critical levels, and it's obvious that simply getting married will not solve this problem. A bowling league can get you married. That's not good enough for the mental health professionals who are behind Theradate.com. Our goal is to promote long-term bonding relationships that truly last. Theradate.com has no gimmicks, no pop psychology. Maybe that's what makes us really unique. No personality profiles or target groups to pitch to. Instead, we base our site on a revolutionary matching and compatibility system, originally available only for use by therapists. A matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. Log on to Theradate.com to see why Good Morning America, The New York Times, The San Francisco Chronicle, and dozens of other media outlets have showcased Theradate.com's unique matchmaking system. That's www.theradate.com. Check us out. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
It's coming down to the wire. We're just days away from completing our quest for a better America. Join us for live extended coverage on election night with the team from Sirius Left 143, Air America Radio 144, and Sirius LQ 149. All the election returns, correspondents from around the country, and your phone calls all night long. It's your election coverage your way.
Is your child included in your activities? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our world today, it seems like we often segregate children from our daily living. We separate the kids from the adults at events we attend, in sports we play, at church, and at work. If we really want our children to learn from us, then it is absolutely necessary that they see us in our regular routine. We need to keep them joined at the hip. Let's teach our children life's lessons by including them when we do housework, yard work, run errands, and even at work when possible. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on. It's been running all day.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here, what, 3 times since this morning? Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh.
How long has it been like this?
At least since this morning.
What do you guys think? Someone just washed their hands, left it on, and then, like, walked off?
I guess.
That's so weird. How do you just leave on a faucet?
It's kind of bizarre.
Should we do something?
We should tell somebody.
We can leave a note.
You guys weren't using this, were you?
Not us.
Nope.
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful ways to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Air America Radio. We are going at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Riley, all worked up. I got a little scared there for a second. Hey, and I didn't have to make the little noise. He did it himself.
I did it myself.
So here we go.
Well, it won't stop.
My therapist, of course, asked me to write down my dreams, and this is for tomorrow because I'm going in to see him. Here's my dream diary from last night. I'm at the Board of Elections with Jesus, trying to register him to vote. It's no picnic, let me tell you. He's got no social security number. He's got no photo ID, no driver's license, no phone, much less a cell phone, no email, not even a Hotmail account. They ask him for an address, and he says, "My kingdom is not of this earth." He was born in Israel, so his citizenship status is iffy. They ask him about his parents, and that, of course, that took some explaining. They ask if he's got party affiliations, and he says, "Just put down independent." I say, "What, so you're not Republican?" He says, "Look at me. I'm a long-haired Jew with no social security number and no cell phone. Most Republicans would throw me out on the curb." I say, "But they quote you all the time, Jesus." He says, "Yeah, but never the good quotes, like, 'Love thy enemy as thyself. Judge not lest ye be judged. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You cannot be the slave of both God and money. What you do unto the least of them, you do unto me.' That's all my killer A material. It goes in one ear and out the other." It's so frustrating. I say, but Jesus, they claim that you speak through George W. Bush. Jesus says, "Yeah, okay, but I also speak through you too, Maron, and Riley, and even Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey. I speak through everybody. That's my job. But if you're listening for my words and ideas through Bush's mouth, the reception, not so great, I gotta tell you." I say, "So why are you voting this time?" Jesus says, "I really like what Springsteen had to say." Gotcha. No, seriously, it's time to practice what I preach, Mark. I figure I'm either part of the problem or part of the solution. Plus, Carrie's a Catholic. That's hardcore. I say, "Well, that's great, Jesus. But don't you think you're in a position to do more than, you know, just cast one vote?" Jesus smiled and said, "How do you think Clinton recovered so fast?" I woke up and my bed was filled with communion wafers. Moving on, the 10 reasons Bush must go for today.
That's right.
Yes, we're going to hit only Homeland Security issues because this seems to be the place where undecided people can't quite figure out what they feel. They think that Iraq is going badly, the economy is going badly, but on terror? Number one, he authorized a State Department report that erroneously lowballed the actual number of terrorist attacks in 2003.
Number two, he failed to secure America's ports with 20,000 shipping containers coming into the country per day and only 1% of them being inspected.
Number three, he agreed with Congress on a specific number of federal sky marshals, then cut that number by 20% in 2005 fiscal year budget.
Number four, he secured less material with nuclear capability in the 2 years after September 11th than was secured in the 2 years before September 11th. Unsecured fissile material still exists in more than 100 countries worldwide.
Number five, he failed to catch the terrorists responsible for the deadly 2001 anthrax mailings.
Number six, he is not required the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to toughen security regulations at nuclear power plants, leading the Project on Government Oversight to conclude that nuclear plants in the U.S. are, quote, not even close to being prepared for a terrorist attack, unquote.
Number seven, he did not implement a proposed computer system intended to aid the tracking of domestic terror threats. It was supposed to be online in 2003 and may now be scrapped entirely.
Number eight, he has not developed specific plans to address the security of hazardous materials moved by rail, and the administration does not have a time frame established for completing such an effort.
Number nine, he provided the nation's first responders with only 15% of the federal funding needed to adequately respond to terrorist attacks.
Number 10, he has failed to capture Osama bin Laden, the man he acknowledges was behind the mass murder of 3,000 Americans.
It's time to decide, people. It's time to decide. David in Florida, how are you?
David!
I love listening to you guys in the morning. It's been such a breath of fresh air to have Air America on the air. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were glad down here to get 940 to finally carry it. Most of us listened online when you first came on. on the air. I've known Franklin for a long time. I appreciate his work.
Great.
You guys as well. Now, it's funny with these musicians, you said to latch on to the one reporter who probably didn't, you know, venture outside of the Bradley vehicle she was in.
Right.
But I mean, it's I have a nephew over there. I have a goddaughter over there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, we have about, around 1,500 kids with, you know, arms and legs missing out of 8,000 wounded.
Terrible.
I mean, these people are staying out of the news other than some courageous people who are sharing it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Nobody's talking about, you know, another 100 munitions dumps that we've left unsecured. I mean, we didn't secure anything except the oil ministry. Yeah, and we didn't secure nuclear facilities over there. The whole thing is a total fraud.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
David,
we're just killing young Americans and feeding them into the machine again. I mean, I'm 53 years old. I've been through this movie before.
Yeah,
David, you know, it's interesting what you say, because out of the 1,000 buildings at Al-Qaqa, American troops will admit to having inspected 119. That's just over 10% of the total number of buildings in the facility.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, that's more than the containers that we inspect here.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. That's only 1% here.
Thanks for your call, David. Appreciate it. You know, he's right. We really don't hear the news about how this war is damaging families, how many kids are coming home without limbs, you know, how many people are being affected. And he's absolutely right that, you know, I think one of the reasons a lot of these ammunition dumps are not secured is they want the enemy to be fueled. They really do. They want this war to go on for as long as it takes to really, you know, fulfill all these military contracts, to keep people scared, to help deplete the country of its money so they can privatize everything here. I really think this is serving them on a lot of different levels and that very few people are paying lip service to. Sasha, North Carolina, good morning.
Good morning, Sasha.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
All right. How you feel?
Well, I'm doing all right. I tell you, my blood pressure's up. These guys are driving me crazy. We got to get them out.
I know. No kidding, dude.
Really?
Hey, you know, the one thing that drives me nuts is these guys are very good at reframing an issue. You know, Cheney last night said, hey, don't worry about the 400 tons we lost. Focus instead on the 400 tons that we've destroyed.
Yes, yeah.
But, I mean, for a guy, you know, whose boss goes out and says, hey, we have to be right 100% of the time, they're batting 50%. That is not getting the job done.
Well, you're absolutely right, and it's a good point you make. And also, it's not just framing, because, you know, George Lakoff was here, you know, months ago and talked about how they've sort of co-opted or they've reconstructed the cultural frame of language to benefit them. But this is also this tactic that I keep talking about, where people within the administration, spokespeople, you know, even Bush and Cheney himself, will sort of change their angle over and over again, week to week, and then there's all these conflicting amounts of information. So it's not just reframing, it's creating confusion to the point where people get exhausted. There's a downside to information culture. There's a downside to being, you know, informatized from too many angles, because it creates a numbness, and it also creates an inability to kind of, you know, ferret out the truth. Because now the truth is just sort of, you know, one of many entertainment options, and you have to sort of like put a consensus together to build evidence for yourself to figure out what is real and what isn't real.
And that makes people's heads hurt. Sometimes.
Mine just hurt from saying it.
See, that's
it
what I mean.
But
there's some fundamental truth to this, and we'll get to them. Coming up, the Presidential Daily Briefing. And we're going to talk shenanigans in the Florida vote with Congresswoman Corrine Brown, all here on Air America Radio.
Planet Check. Eco victory for Yellowstone Park. Federal Judge Emmett Sullivan says no go to snowmobiles.
The judge determined that the ruling of the Bush administration was in violation of the intent of the Organic Act of the National Parks. The levels of snowmobiles in either case were outrageously high.
That's Alfred Runty, author of National Parks, The American Experience.
The big environmental hazard has been to the wildlife and to the quality of the air. But there's a more fundamental issue, and that is, why have snowmobiles in the national parks in the first place? We're supposed to go there and enjoy nature.
The court ruling marks the beginning of a phase-out of snowmobiles in Yellowstone.
Snowmobiles are cut back in half for this year, from 900 to 460-some machines. Next year, there will be a total elimination of snowmobiles.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Oh, on Sirius, we strive to bring you the best that the sports world has to offer.
Warm beer, high-priced tickets, and stale popcorn?
I don't think so.
Now on Saturdays, it's College Football Day, beginning with the kickoff show at 5 a.m. Sirius College Coaches Show at 9. A doubleheader of exciting game day action. And then we finish it with the ultimate post-game show, The Wrap-Up, hosted by Jerry Recco. From dawn to dusk, Saturday is College Sports Radio Day on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Aha! According to my PDA, I'm supposed to tell you about the wonders of automotive technology. Or in this case, a technological lack of technology. I'll maneuver you through the double talk when we come back. Hi, this is Bobby Ligas. Your body relies on antioxidants to stay healthy. So does your vehicle. Oxidation in fuel and oil creates deposits. That means clogged injectors and sludge in your engine, causing costly breakdowns. Your service shop can reverse oxidation in your vehicle by adding BG's MI 3000 Plus and MOA at your next oil change. Ask your shop about BG products or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. In the age of multitasking, it's possible for drivers to talk on the phone, check email, and find directions on a GPS, all while tuning in a favorite song. Possible, but not recommended. And that's where the Smart Assistant comes in. Designed by BMW, this system uses sensors to detect traffic, road layout, and driver's actions. Each element is assigned a pre-established complexity rating, which is analyzed by an onboard computer. If the rating exceeds a certain threshold, the Smart Assistant diverts certain functions from the driver until the complexity level drops. Wow, talk about autopilot. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker. My friend was hit by a stroke. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone called 911. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, call 911. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor.
Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this Tom in Missouri. The Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on. And they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for it. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
This is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush, let's go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
Just speak out on Sirius.
Floods and flash floods can strike almost anywhere. Many people don't know that the severe damage to homes and property caused by floodwaters is not covered by homeowners insurance. Protect yourself and your family from catastrophic financial loss due to flood damage. Learn more about the National Flood Insurance Program by calling 1-800-427-4661. 1-800-427-4661. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
No time to screw around. It's coming down on it next Tuesday, and then we'll know that, you know, who the president is by January tops. 34 past the hour. Mark Maron with Mark Riley. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that voters know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have someone from that world, and once again, joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Mr. Smalls.
Good morning. God's got you in a headlock and he's squeezing some love into you.
All right.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
Good day.
Okay, all right, look. Let's talk about civil liberties and the Patriot Act in Bush's second term.
Oh, yes. Mark, you know, anyone who cast their vote for the president next Tuesday and that will be all of you, is committing the most wonderful patriot act of all.
What are you saying? So a vote for Kerry is unpatriotic?
Well, unpatriotic is a little too harsh a word. Let me put it this way. If you vote for John Kerry, you're engaging in an act of pro-terrorist, anti-American genocide. But I'll avoid saying unpatriotic because I don't want to be inflammatory.
Okay, listen to me. Okay, you know, I can't take wait a minute. Let's move on to the state of civil liberties under George W. Bush and John Ashcroft, okay?
All right, Mark.
Yes.
The president and the attorney general have guaranteed civil liberties and freedom of speech to all Republican Christians, no matter what their political or religious beliefs.
Let's talk about all the questionable surveillance, the wiretaps that are going on. I mean, come on, wake up, Lawton.
Mark, do you believe in God?
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, because most Americans believe a supreme being watches over us all. So when you think about it, God has everybody under constant surveillance already.
Oh, wait a minute.
And when Jesus wants to know if we're contemplating sin, what does he do? He wiretaps our souls. But you don't see Jesus asking the Heavenly Father for a subpoena, do you?
My
point is simple. God doesn't believe in due process. So why should John Ashcroft?
Wait, listen to me. Stop doing that. Will you at least agree that every American has the right to a lawyer? Can you at least agree to that?
Mark.
What?
How are we ever going to have tort reform in this country if we let everybody have a lawyer? I guess we just should all go to John Edwards with our problems. Save me, John Edwards. Save me.
I can't talk to this
Mark,
guy
the only thing standing between the average American and justice is the law.
Oh, come on.
I mean, you can't.
What does that mean?
How can you?
What is it? Stop. Would you stop doing that? You're babbling to keep out of all the sadness, aren't you? You memorize bits of propaganda to keep you from falling apart. Your little asides are just... They're just hiding in there. You're hiding behind this. Come on, buddy. Come on. You don't have to be brave with me. Just let it out. Just let it out, buddy. Come on, stop it. Stop, that's it. Come on, buddy. There you go.
He set back justice 100 years.
That's it.
He's praying into all of our lives.
Yes,
privacy
that's right.
Privacy is dead.
Yes, that's right.
We have no privacy.
Oh.
They know every little thing about myself.
We've had a breakthrough.
Know everything.
It's okay. It's okay. You'll be okay. You're okay. It's okay. You're going to be all right. I'm glad we were able to have this breakthrough. You're okay.
Okay, now, hey, 4 more years. Somebody keep an eye on all of us.
Come on, man.
Did
we do anything?
4 more years.
All right, goodbye, Lawton. Goodbye.
God bless you.
All right, goodbye. Yeah, I almost think I'm going to get him into the right frame of mind, and then he goes back into that other thing.
He's already in the right frame of mind. That's the problem.
The very right frame of mind. Now it's time, one of our favorite guests, Congresswoman Corrine Brown from the 3rd District of Florida, is on the phone with us to, of course, talk about the voting shenanigans in Florida. Good morning, Congresswoman Brown. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing great.
So tell us about this list that we're going to talk to Greg Pallas in the next segment. Tell us about this list of 1,886 names and addresses, this caging list. Can you explain that to us?
Greg is going to have to tell you about that.
Okay.
But let me just tell you one quick thing.
Yes.
In a meeting in the courtroom, Jacksonville indicated that we had 515,000.
Uh-oh.
Well, Tallahassee indicated we had 578. So where are the 67-plus thousand voters?
In other words, there's a discrepancy here between what Tallahassee says you have and what county officials say you have?
That's correct. And so then the supervisor tells me that those are inactive, and if they show up, they can vote. You know, I have some questions about that, and I am going to contact all of those people and let them know that they need to vote early because the Republicans, this is unbelievable. We are now going to spend $225 billion to say the Iraqis can vote, but they are going to attack any voter on Election Day and try to slow down the process. I mean, I don't care whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent. You should want a fair election. You should want an election that's transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other thing, we want the winner to take office.
That's right.
Not the loser.
That's right.
Not again.
That's right.
Congresswoman, there was a part of Greg Palast's story talks about seeing some kind of a private detective filming early voters.
Every day, right in front of the supervisor of elections, it's a private detective, and he is filming everybody that comes in and goes out of the supervisor's office downtown. When I went over there, I called the police. I called the sheriff. I said, what's going on here?
He's visibly sitting there to intimidate people?
It's every day.
Now, what about these, the federal judge ruled last week that voting machines are not required to print paper ballots. That's got to hurt. I mean, what is it? Is there any way to appeal that before this thing goes down or what?
We are appealing it.
Yeah.
And listen, it has been amazing. Some of the things that has come out of Jeb Bush and the Secretary's office.
Yeah.
I mean, would you believe that she issued an executive order saying that recounts in Florida was going to be illegal?
Unbelievable. But they're going to be impossible.
Have to take that to court. I mean, can you imagine after the election? You have a close election, you can't have a recount.
Well, but what are you going to count if they don't have any paper coming out of the machines?
Well, I'm encouraging all of my people to use paper ballots.
Oh, good. That's right. You said
that
earlier.
Yeah, paper ballots. Then you do have a count.
That's right.
But now, Congresswoman, there's been a federal judge, and it seems like it's always federal judges, a federal judge down in Miami dismissed a lawsuit that was filed on behalf of 10,000 new voters. This is this whole issue about whether or not they affirmed in writing that they were citizens, even though they swore an oath in the same application that they were citizens. Apparently the judge says those 10,000 can be barred from voting.
Well, and we're appealing that.
You are appealing that.
Yes. Let me tell you a little secret. When I was coming up, I used to like to watch the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a knockout, you don't need a judge. We need a knockout here in Florida.
Yeah.
And I am so grateful that people are coming from all over to help us in these final days. They're coming to volunteer. And Florida needs help, I'm telling you.
How's that going down there?
I heard that segment just before, and it was funny. But the point is, there's a part of it that's not funny, because a lot of it is serious under this administration.
That's what you're
people
saying. Most
don't understand how our rights as a democracy is being eroded under this administration.
Absolutely. And how are you seeing a difference in having the number of lawyers and volunteers down there?
It makes all the difference in the world. You see, when 2000 came about, and I went to church Sunday with Vice President Gore, we was not prepared for the kind of shenanigans that went on. Now we're on top of it. We're before it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's making all the difference in the world. Just think, 48,000 supposed to be felons on a list in 2000 when people showed up. They were told that they could not vote because they were felons, and there was nothing they could do. Two things they can do now. One, we have a provisional ballot so they can sign an affidavit and vote that day. But in addition to that, the media sued the state of Florida, got the list and vetted it and found out thousands of these people wasn't felons. Many on that list had gotten their rights restored. And most of them was Democrats and African-Americans, and they only had 65 Cuban Americans that tend to vote Republicans.
And what do you make of this? The Bush administration claiming that they've got 18% of the African American vote.
I think that a Republican voting for George W. Bush is like a chicken voting for Colonel Sam's.
Congresswoman, you have in this instance, and people pointed this out in 2000. Jeb Bush, the brother of the President of the United States, running a state that is going to be crucial to whether or not this man remains president. We've had everybody from Jimmy Carter to the Brennan Center to others arguing that Florida's voting system is still deeply flawed. You've only got 6 days left. I know that they've got the lawyers in place. I know that the Democrats have girded their loins for the possibility of a fight down there.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, how far do you think the Republicans are prepared to go? How far is this apparatus, because they do control certainly the Elections Commission, how far are they prepared to go here?
Well, what I said jokingly, that if you have a knockout punch, you don't need a judge.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to vote early. That's the first thing. And I'm doing all I can to encourage people to vote early, and they are coming in, because a lot of my citizens, people that I represent, they like to vote on election day. Well, you know, the Republicans have promised it's going to be chaotic on election day. So come and vote early. And we found some minimum problems, but we were able to correct it. But if you come in at 6:45 on the 2nd, it's very little we can do to correct it. So we are asking everybody, get out and vote early. The polling places are open from 10 to 5 every day. And I'm sorry, 10 to 7, the outlying areas, and downtown from 8 to 7.
That's
and
downtown Jacksonville, right?
On the weekends, and so you can vote on the weekends from, I think it's 1 to 5.
Great, great.
And so please come out and vote early.
That goes for anybody that can. Congresswoman Corrine Brown, always, always a pleasure. Pleasure to talk to you.
Great to talk with you, Congresswoman.
Tell Greg I said hello.
All right, we'll do. Give us a call, 866-303-2270. What's on your mind? We only got a couple calls in last time, so call back. We like talking to you. It's 46 past the hour. We're coming back with the War on Brains. Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Quick, who's accusing the Bush administration of high crimes and misdemeanors? Obsessive secrecy, waging war on the environment. Hint,
it's not John Kerry's party.
George Bush has become so radical that even traditional Republicans are alarmed and speaking out. In video interviews released on MotherJones.com, big-name conservatives from past Republican administrations are blasting the Bush record. Nixon counsel John Dean charges that Bush's obsessive secrecy amounts to an impeachable offense. Reagan official Clyde Prestowitz says Bush's Iraq crusade and his penchant for alienating allies has made us less safe than 4 years ago. Nixon Commerce Secretary Pete Peterson bemoans Bush's fiscal recklessness and says the ballooning deficit is almost criminal. And Nixon and Ford's EPA director says that Bush has declared war on the environment. Bush told us 4 years ago that he was a uniter, not a divider. Who knew he'd unite Democrats and traditional Republicans against him? This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
The secret of the Hollywood stars is out. Lose up to 5 pounds in one day with the Hollywood 24-Hour Miracle Diet. Craig raves about it.
The next day I weighed myself, and I lost 3 pounds just overnight, and I lost 2 more pounds. It melted it away quick. I've been training for a year or so, and I just had that really stubborn love handle area, you know? It's been impossible. It's gone now.
The Hollywood 24-Hour Miracle Diet did more than that for Craig.
I got a great detox out of it, too. And that was my favorite part of it, was that it actually did cleanse out my body. My face stopped breaking out, and my skin tone improved. I actually did get a compliment.
Craig won't just put anything in his body.
I'm a health nut by nature. I did research this diet on the internet and just look at some of the ingredients. And if you think about all the benefits you're getting out of it, it's an incredible diet.
Look great. Feel fabulous. Lose up to 5 pounds tomorrow with the Hollywood 24-Hour Miracle Diet for only $9.99. Change your life. Call now and get the only diet under $10. Call 1-800-NEW-DIET. 1-800-NEW-DIET. Get the only one-day diet. Log on to purplediet.com.
What's that number?
1-800-NEW-DIET.
On Sirius, we strive to bring you the best that the sports world has to offer.
Warm beer, high-priced tickets, and stale popcorn?
I don't think so.
Now on Saturdays, it's College Football Day, beginning with the kickoff show at 5 a.m. Sirius College Coaches Show at 9. A doubleheader of exciting game day action. And then we finish it with the ultimate post-game show, The Wrap-Up, hosted by Jerry Recco. From dawn to dusk, Saturday is College Sports Radio Day on Sirius Sports Action 123.
How are you at hellos and goodbyes? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The way we greet our spouse and the way we tell them goodbye can really set the tone for the whole day or evening. So try to practice these 3 steps to a great hi,
and buy. One, make eye contact so they'll feel like they have your attention. Next, include some physical affection, a kiss or a hug. And finally, keep your words pleasant. It's not the time for complaints or controversy. Make your hellos and goodbyes meaningful. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. One. Name one Hollywood director. Two. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number three. Name one comedian. Four. Name one game show host. Five. Name one professional athlete. Number six. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Past the hour, it's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Fire!
We're listening to Air America Radio. It's a pleasure to have you. Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now, war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Rip Taylor.
Oh.
Dateline, Washington, District of Columbia, founded 1790, designed by the French, and named after the father of our country, George Columbia. October 27. Well, this is it. 6 more days. Balls in play. Mano a mano. Fourth down, final inning, seconds to the buzzer, 19th hole, John 3:16. How excited am I? Well, I'm using sports metaphors, and I hate sports. Here I go again. It's all over but the fat lady singing. Bottom of the night, take me drunk, I'm home. Jessica, do not eat. But more to the point, next week on Election Day, Thursday, November 8th, the people of America will exercise their most precious right, that of screwing off work to go to the polls when they really voted absentee 10 days ago. Yes, only you, the Joe Six-Packs and Josephine Six-Packettes of Six-Packville, can determine how that day will turn out. As joyous as the last few moments of Extreme Home Makeover, right before the family finds out they still have to pay all those taxes on their brand new house. Or as sad as that moment Ashley Simpson blamed her crappy singing voice on acid reflux. Shameful. Impudicitudinous. Yeah, you heard me. You and you alone have the power to change this nation. But even more frightening than that nightmarish reality is the fact that George W. Bush's brutal assaults on intelligentness and smartacity will continue unabated through Inauguration Day and well past dedication of the first and only book in his presidential library, Hop on Pop. For according to a panel of education experts recently assembled in our great capital, home of George Columbia, it turns out President Bush's so-called college savings plans are really designed to benefit rich families over poor families.
Well, land sakes. I didn't see that one coming. I'm all a flutter. Yeah, so you spent abusing drugs, memorizing people's names, and hilariously transposing the word prescription with circumcision. Are the ingredients of George W. Bush's educational background his Xanadu? This insult to primates got his chance. Why not others? Isn't it time we gave stupid poor people the same education we give stupid rich people? Of course it is! That's what America is all about. After all, we gave the Mormons a whole state. We gave the Scientologists complete mind control over Tom Cruise and some other stars. Can't we at least give the poor a chance to waste 4 years at Yale and throw up in the headmaster's closet? I think so. And so, until next time, freedom fighters, read, write, and stockpile water and canned goods. That's today's dispatch from
the War on Brains.
Thanks, Mort. Are you okay?
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm all right.
You sounded like you're stuttering a little bit, a little tangled up. And...
Well, I'm fearful of next week.
Okay, man. Well, you know, take care of yourself, all right?
Yes, thank you. I will. It's been nice knowing you.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Wow. It's been nice knowing you, man. Really, I enjoyed your career all these years, and I just want to say, hey, goodbye.
This is from the heart, dude.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Oh, boy. Fun. Leon in Missouri. How are you, Leon? What's going on?
What's up? How y'all doing, man?
Pretty good.
Hey, y'all kick ass, man. I've been listening to y'all for a little more than a month now.
Oh, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a Republican. I'm a 6-year Navy vet. And I'm ashamed and embarrassed of my president.
Mm.
And I'm a big Kerry supporter now.
Oh, great.
But a little bit about those explosives. They talk about MDX and RDX.
Okay.
And I know a little bit about RDX. I was involved in ordnance. And 1.125 pounds of that RDX is equivalent to 10 pounds of TNT.
Wow. 1.1, that's like two, that's probably two whoppers from,
yeah.
Yeah, wow. Really?
Yes. Like a hamburger before you fry, right?
So it's very dangerous stuff, and that's the stuff that they use for nuclear detonators and also for small explosives.
Well, you can use a conventional explosive to cause an implosion on the nuclear material. I was never a nuke type, but yeah, I just read a little bit about it because I was in ordnance.
Sure. Now, you know, I mean, is this stuff easily spotted or what?
Easily spotted. Well, in the form that I knew it, it was made into like a nitroglycerin embedded into a felt.
Yeah.
And it was stabilized in that fashion. And that way you could put in a warhead in an artillery shell and fire it and it not explode in the barrel, right? So,
yeah.
You know, it was...
Right. So then there was like tons of this stuff. I mean, you know, you would have thought they would have known if it was moved, right?
Oh, exactly. I mean, you know, it seems like, you know, with it being such a profound facility there that they would have been keeping an eye on it up to invasion.
Right.
You know,
and obviously.
You know, keeping surveillance on it. And then as they marched through, now I'm not blaming the guys that marched through. Their job was to move on to Baghdad.
Right.
But they, you know, like in World War II, we had contingency plans, you know, of having, you know, troops to hold the rear and secure positions as you moved along. And we didn't have the planning to do any of that.
That's right. Well, thanks for your call. That's right. There was no strategy.
There was no strategy. Coming up in the next hour of Morning's Edition, is the GOP taking voter sabotage to a new level in Florida? Greg Powell from the BBC talks about missing ballots, court rulings, and what the Republicans plan on doing with Democratic voter lists.
Wow.
In the next hour, here on Air America Radio.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet. Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far. So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes. That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed. Yeah. Well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. Big deal. My dad, he eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite. Get out. Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, It takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can crush a soda can with his head.
No way.
Uh-huh. I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Compromise off. Serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There are more signs that voters in Florida are going to be facing more problems on Election Day. A report by investigative journalist Greg Palace has revealed the emergence of what has been described as a caging list of some 1,800 black voters in the Jacksonville area. An election supervisor, when shown the list, says the only reason why they would be keeping such a thing is to challenge voters on Election Day. This being the Republican Party, Florida law allows political party operatives inside polling stations to stop voters from obtaining a ballot. Florida Congresswoman Corrine Brown on Air America this morning, just moments ago, said the situation in the Sunshine State is grave just 6 days before the election, with a myriad of complaints of voter intimidation and other factors restraining the vote.
When you have a knockout, you don't need a judge. We need a knockout here in Florida.
Yeah.
And I am so grateful that people are coming from all over to help us in these final days. They're coming to volunteer, and Florida needs help. I'm telling you, our rights as a democracy is being eroded under this administration.
Congresswoman Corrine Brown on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio this morning. Representative Brown is urging everyone to come out and vote early in the state to stave off additional problems. Vice President Dick Cheney is now the most senior government official to give a response to a host of questions about the disappearance of 380 tons of explosives from an Iraqi facility outside Baghdad. Cheney says there's a possibility it could have been missing before American troops arrived in the area shortly after the war started. Cheney's comments yesterday about the development of the campaign trail of raising new questions since International Atomic Weapons Inspector said the explosives were there 2 months before the war started and just 4 days before the war began. It seems soaring energy costs, relentless violence in Iraq, sluggish hiring, and an increasingly bitter presidential campaign put American consumers in a gloomier state in October. Conference Board's gauge of consumer confidence fell to 92.8% in October. It was the lowest decline in 7 months. The rating was below the expectations of economists. Economist Gary Thayer at A.G. Edwards & Sons in St. Louis says consumers are more concerned about the future than they are about current conditions. Thayer says that accounts for their concerns over the spiraling oil prices. Despite signs of economic growth, American businesses are cautious about hiring workers while faced with record high oil prices and steep health care costs. And the government's making sure there's a vaccine for federal workers more at risk from the flu. Health and Human Services Department says the workers will be able to get free shots starting next week. They'll only be available to people who fall within government guidelines, pregnant women and chronically ill, and in some instances, federal workers 65 and older. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi, it's Lynn Samuels. That scary time of year. All the pranksters are out throwing eggs, playing tricks on each other. I get chills even thinking about it. No, I'm not talking about Halloween. I'm talking about Republicans! And the chance that scary George W. Bush can get back in office.
Election night coverage featuring Lynn Samuels from her living room on Sirius Left 143.
This is Earth and Sky on mountaintop removal mining in West Virginia and Kentucky, where the tops of mountains are blasted off to get it cold.
According to a draft of an environmental impact statement released by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, in 2003, mountaintop mining disrupts forests, wildlife, and streams. Mining companies say they're trying to restore some life to the land. Once mining is done, they often spread grass seed and fertilizer.
But some forest experts aren't convinced. Stephen Handel is a plant ecologist at Rutgers. He studied 50 former mine sites, part of the larger EPA study. He said on a typical site it would take over 100 years for something resembling the original forests to return. But he had some recommendations.
All the topsoil and the old brown sandstone should be reserved and then put back on the site after the mining was done. We then said that when the soil is put back on the site, it shouldn't be compacted and hard, but left loose and light, so that plant roots and plant seeds could grow properly. We recommended that various kinds of native trees and shrubs be brought back to jumpstart the process. I think it would be fair to say the mining industry was not happy to hear this. They were quite happy with the grassy fields they were using, although I don't think they're useful to the people of West Virginia in the long run.
Our thanks to the U.S. Forest Service and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, superheroes, festering progressives, ineffectual intellectuals, unwilling to take action. I read that magazine, my buddy Clutch Larson gave me yesterday, the Reason magazine, where you hear all these sort of, you know, undecided voters or condescending voters, or people like, well, I wouldn't ever vote because it's just the voting's for poor people. You know, I don't know what the hell the people are thinking. It's like, you gotta vote. You gotta do it this time. There's no, you know, the truth of the matter is that, like, even if you think they're both the same, if you do, well, then just vote for Kerry. Because the truth of the matter is, they're not the same. Just in terms of, like, whoever the lead singer of the band is gonna take up most of the attention. Do you know what I mean? So that's going to define culture to a certain degree. You know, set aside policy. The one thing I know is that if Kerry is in office, he'll somehow stifle this theocratic Christo-fascist movement. He will sort of reorganize and reinstate our status in the world as being somewhat, you know, decent, a decent country in terms of creating alliances with people. He'll make me feel better personally. How about you, Mark Riley?
He'd make me feel, much better personally.
It sounds like someone needs to make you feel better.
No, I feel great. I mean, look, John Kerry, if the turnout is anything like what people say it's going to be, John Kerry will win this thing going away. I said it in April. I said it in August. I'm saying it now. John Kerry will win this election because people who don't normally turn out to vote, the young, the disenfranchised, the people of color, will come out in record numbers.
Now we just guy. And hopefully all their votes will get counted.
We'll get counted.
Know?
But
and
you know what's interesting about what you said just now?
What?
Only poor people vote. The fact of the matter is the reverse is true.
Rich
people vote in disproportionate numbers rather than working poor people. If working poor people voted, like, for example, at a 75% rate, George W. Bush would have come close to being governor of Texas, much less president of the United States.
I guess you're probably right, but maybe I'm mischaracterizing it. But it seems a lot of narrow-minded, completely brainwashed, you know, Christian right people who are of lower income have mobilized a good deal of the Republican vote because they don't realize that Republican policies has put them, you know, has disenfranchised them and made their lives difficult on an economical. They're willing to dismiss that in order to have their sort of moral agenda serviced.
Well, he's against gay marriage, isn't he?
Exactly.
I shouldn't characterize that as Southern because there's a lot of people, I don't know why, but there are a lot of people who apparently buy into this idea that something that does not pertain to them, unless they are gay,
right,
is more important than what's in their wallet, which does pertain to them.
Look, if they don't have those stupid things to hold on to, and they're not stupid, they're important issues, but if they don't have that sort of weird kind of narrow, you know, moral closed-mindedness, that lack of an open mind, if they don't keep that open mind, you know, if they don't keep that mind clamped shut, imagine the amount of despair and pain and fear that they will spiral into is you know, they can't even handle the possibility. They can never question their faith. They can never question their narrow-minded belief system. They've got to put a dogmatic cap on that powder keg of panic, or they would walk around screaming all the time and crying, which is really where they need to be in order to see the real horror of this administration. And you know the Republicans are getting nervous. We got trolls on the blog that are just, you know, kind of festering and going, "You guys are going to die. You guys are going down.
Is that what it is? We're going to die, are we?"
No, they're not going to. They don't say
that.
We're
all going to die, you idiots.
They don't say that. They just say, you know, it's like there's this idea. They still have this sort of tone of like, "We're going to kick your ass." There's not going to be any ass kicking. This is going to be a very tight race down to the wire, and we're just going to hope that it stays fair.
You know what? We're going to kick your ass. How's that?
That'd be fine. I just want us to, you know, I want us to win. I want the vote to be counted properly, and I want everybody to be represented by their vote. If you sense any difficulties whatsoever or any shenanigans going on, 866-OUR-VOTE is a number you can call. If you want to make sure that your registration polling place is where you think it is, 866-MY-VOTE-NUMBER-1 is a number you call. You can go to morningsedition.com if you'd like to blog or get information about any of this stuff. We have links there. If you're an overseas voter and you're wondering about your ballot, www.fvap.gov is the number that you need to call. And protect yourself. Go to the polls. Bring your video camera. Bring your video phone. Bring something that can capture on tape, you know, some of the goons that are going to be there to intimidate you. If you sense that you're being bullied, do it. Because apparently now the Republicans are sending out, you know, dispatching goon squads. They're sending out people to, you know, to go
challenge
down.
Folks. At the polls. And can I make a quick suggestion here?
You can say whatever you want. It's, you know.
If you have not voted since the 2000 presidential election, in other words, if you did not vote in your state or local elections in 2002, contact your county board of elections to double check your polling site.
Yeah.
So that, because it may well be, because a lot of places got redistricted. We heard Jim Moore talk earlier about all the shenanigans that went on with the Texas redistricting.
Right.
Well, that took place back in 2002,
yeah,
when the census required that states redraw their congressional and legislative lines to reflect changes in the population. That could mean that your polling site changed 2 years ago, and because you didn't vote 2 years ago, you don't know it.
Right.
So don't assume that because you voted in 2000 that you've got the same site in 2004. Double check it. Make sure.
Yeah, this is a game they play to confuse people and stop people from voting. You know, the redistricting and, you know, and there's a lot of things going on. There's
hijinks.
No better guy to talk to about it than Greg Palast, who's going to be here after this break. It's 12 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
This is Rob Corddry from The Daily Show. If you're like me, and you probably are not, you're tired of getting your news from sophomoric, unreliable news outlets more focused on entertainment than news, like CNN and Newsweek. That's why I get my news from Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. That and Fox.
Hi, this is Al Franken. I care about who's elected president on November 2nd, and it's never been more important who we choose for the future of America. So listen up. Right now, the polls in the Buckeye State show a deadlock, and the fact of the matter is, it's all going to come down to the ground game, and who wants it more. You know, Paul Wellstone used to say that the future belongs to those who are passionate and work hard. Well, the future is in your hands, and I'm asking you to be passionate and work hard by contributing your time and money to the Ohio Democratic Party. Go to OhioDems.org. OhioDems.org. That's not hard to remember, is it? OhioDems.org. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves to save money for a rainy day. This is it. This is that rainy day. We can't let these people take this country in the wrong direction for four more years. Do yourself, your children, your country a favor. Volunteer or write a check by going to OhioDems.org.
This ad is paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Dennis White Chair.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. we've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, sir.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Jim Brewer is now on Sirius Raw Dog 147 5 days a week.
He won't leave.
And we're very excited about it.
We let him do one show as a favor.
Now you've got Brewer 5 days a week.
And he just started showing up every day.
Jim Brewer.
He brought a sleeping bag.
Monday through Friday.
Now he sleeps here.
Sirius Raw Dog 147.
That was 6 months ago.
Hey, dude.
Oh, hey, Jim.
See you there. Oh, no, thanks. I'm cool. Right on. Jim Brewer. Every day, 4 p.m. Eastern, every week, forever.
Oh, good.
Starting Monday on Raw Dog.
Are you an out-of-control parent? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. As a child, I can remember my dad letting me sit on his lap and steer our old station wagon on a long, deserted road. But he was always clearly in control. It was in the old days before we wore seatbelts. Well, during the early childhood years, a parent should be in control of their child, deciding when the child will sleep, what they will eat, and what they will wear. But as their child grows towards adolescence, we need to steer away from being an in-control parent to being one that is out of control, letting go of the wheel, but still giving directions from the passenger seat. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're five. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shelly, get away!
Play with them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
The average parent thinks they're prepared for a medical emergency. They know if their child has allergies or how to call 911. But the average parent doesn't know how to treat severe burns or what to do when a child stops breathing. You can't always prevent emergencies, but you can be better prepared. Call 1-888-ASK-HRSA for more information. That's toll-free, 1-888-ASK-HRSA. Brought to you by the Emergency Medical Services for Children.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, I got to make a correction.
Okay.
I made a mistake before. I said that the Texas redistricting back in 02 was part of the national redistricting that's required with the census. It wasn't. It was a special redistricting.
Wasn't that the one that DeLay oversaw?
That's the one.
Got it. This Friday and Saturday, I'll be at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco as part of the Stand Up For Your Rights Part 2. If you want to go, www.cobbscomedyclub.com. It's going to be fun. Durst will be there, Kevin Rooney, and many other comics. Right now, I've got the presidential Palm Pilot that Ramon brought by earlier. I hope he doesn't lose any more parts of his body. Here's the president's schedule for today, 7:30 a.m., wake up. Stay on message. 380 tons of missing explosives is really not that much if you compare it to, say, 500 tons or even 750 tons. See, it's nothing. 11:10 a.m., speaker rally, Lancaster Airport, Lititz, Pennsylvania. Note, compliment the Amish on their airports. Tell them it's very plain. 1:55 p.m., speak at rally, Vienna, Ohio. Note, tell them, John Kerry doesn't come to Ohio as obsessively and panicked as I do. Love me. Hold me. 4 p.m., speak at rally at Hancock County Fairgrounds, Findlay, Ohio. Notes, speak to same people I spoke to 2 weeks ago. At this point, greet them by name. Ask about Chuck's gallstones. 6 p.m., call Jeb. Demand to know where those 58,000 missing absentee ballots in Broward County went to. Pause, then share a good, long, bonding laugh. We never see each other anymore. 8 p.m., call Alawi. Tell him the death of 50 unarmed soldiers isn't, quote-unquote, gross negligence. The death of 3,000 civilians after you were warned repeatedly, that's gross negligence. 8:30 p.m., call Sinclair Broadcasting. Suggest weekend programming, John Kerry flip-flop marathon, plus senior golf highlights. 10 p.m. bedtime in Rochester, Michigan. Note, those damn Red Sox, when I'm baseball commissioner next year, I'm moving that franchise to San Antonio. You want a curse? I'll give you a curse. Right now, my pleasure and honor to have in the studio BBC investigative journalist, reporter for the new documentary, The Bush Family Fortunes, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, which is available, based on his best-selling book, of course, of the same name, The Best Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Greg Palast is here to break a story that he broke in England last night, but not in the States. Flesh it out for us. Set it up for us, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Okay, I'm not going to break it. I'm going to build it up. It's the, well, I just came back from Florida, you know, so before I just returned from to the United States, but while I was over there in Florida for the BBC, I discovered something called a caging list, which was a couple thousand names of look like African-American voters.
Caging list.
And it turns out it looks like it's a list that the Republican Party is preparing to. These are voters that the Republican Party apparently is ready to challenge on election day.
Why is it called a caging list?
And it's called a caging list. Well, I don't know. You're going to have to ask the Republican Party, because dig this. When we ask them about this, just so you know what we mean by challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Florida law allows someone to say, hey, you don't vote. We know who you are, and you're not allowed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that not only stops that voter, but it backs up lines for hours, okay? And in all of Florida history, we call 12 county election supervisors. There have been one person challenged in the last dozen years. One person challenged.
And in the whole state?
Yeah, and in at least 12 counties.
12 counties.
Wow. And so the whole state's almost never done. They're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands on election day. And here's the trick.
Okay.
What they're very unhappy about my getting the list and from inside,
mm-hmm,
is that it is specifically African-American voting district. Now, you have to understand, that is called against the law. It is a violation of federal law. Even if there's some grounds to challenge someone, this is bogus stuff.
Yeah.
Even if there's grounds to challenge someone, to target it at African-American districts is something which is violated. It violates the law because it's a trick that used to be used by the Ku Klux Klan. Now it's the RN Ku Klux C, which is organized. And when I say, is this low level, I just want to add two little things.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, who are they challenging? People who they sent letters to where the letters have been returned, so they can say, oh, they're not really at that address. We checked some of those letters. You know where a lot of them are?
Where?
Letters are returned because they're black soldiers who were sent overseas.
Wow.
So the RNC is going to challenge guys whose current address is changed because they're in Baghdad.
So do they send those
soldiers?
Letters back?
Soldiers.
Do they, to reroute them to them in Iraq?
Oh, no, they won't send them back?
Oh, no, sir. In fact, the idea is that in places like Jacksonville already, because they don't provide enough voting booths, literally, in black communities, it's a Republican in charge of a black voting area. And people have had to wait 3 and 4 hours to vote. This will completely sabotage the entire voting structure. Election supervisors, including independent one, Ion Sancho, and others, have begged the parties no challenges. The Democrats have pledged no challenges.
Hmm.
And anyway, so this is a real lawbreaker right now. And I should also say, is this low-level stuff? Uh-uh. This list was sent to... Well, besides being sent to me by accident, it was sent to, which is a heck of a mistake. Some head is going to roll. It was sent to the executive director of the Bush-Cheney campaign in Florida and the research director of the Republican National Committee. This is Greg. When I went and said, this is Greg Palast reporting for BBC, would you explain this caging list for me? And they go, what it is these are returned fundraising letters.
Okay.
And in other words, they sent fundraising letters
to black Democrats in Jacksonville.
Black Democrats in Jacksonville, Florida, And this clerical function of sending the, you know, getting the addresses correct was sent to the chieftains of the Camp Bush campaign. And so, you know, so it is somewhere in between unbelievable and astonishing. By the way, last night on BBC
Did they have
television,
any explanation for that? Did you talk to any Republican operatives?
Well, we've now gotten three different explanations. And last night on BBC television, by the way, just so you know.
Yes.
This story is the number one story in international news last night. It led the BBC nightly news worldwide. Blacked out in America, as always.
Except here.
Except for Air America.
Yeah.
And you know, the RNC, so they said we got their the lawyer for the Republicans on the air last night. He said, well, first of all, I didn't make up the list. In other words, please don't disbar me. And second, he said, someone made up this list. Apparently it is a list of voters that we think shouldn't be voting. But we're not saying we're going to challenge them, because a pattern of challenges in the black community would be strictly against the law. It's big bust, handcuff time. And however, they are.
They are going to. So they wouldn't. They wouldn't say that they would absolutely not use the list for challenge.
But when pressed and pressed, what they said, we didn't create it for a challenge. But they're not saying.
But since
that
we
they
have
won't.
It.
Now, let's put it this way: it's Ashcroft that's going to have to bust them. You know, if I like last time I was here, I said that the U.S. Civil Rights Commission voted to open a criminal investigation. To give you the results so far, the investigation is Ashcroft has not begun the investigation. The other thing I found last time we reported on the air. Several thousand voter registration forms were filled out. People signed petitions to get medical use of marijuana for medical purposes on the ballot. What they didn't know is that they'd signed the back of a registration form.
Yeah.
And Republican operatives changed their registration, their addresses, and their registration to the Republican Party. Something like 4,000 Democratic students.
Really? But that means they're still registered, though.
No, because you know what happens?
What?
Their registration addresses were changed at party. When they show up to vote, they'll say, we're sorry, you're registered in two places, you lose your vote, or a lot of people have absentee ballots, you're disqualified. And the only reason they were caught is that they were dumb enough to forge the signature. They forged the signatures at the bottom.
Forgeries we're talking here?
4,000 forgeries.
Where did this happen?
Wow.
Florida.
Oh,
4,000 forgeries in Florida, but they included the daughter of one of the election supervisors was caught in the scam, so they got caught. And we showed that on film. Have you seen that in the U.S. press here?
No.
4,000 signatures were forged by Republican Party operatives. And the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, Jeb Bush's cops, has said they don't have time right now. They'll get to it in a few weeks.
We just talked to Congresswoman Corrine Brown, and she sends her regards, and she says that they're feeling like they need more volunteers, but they're feeling a lot more prepared than they did in 2000 for what's going on down there. And one other question before we get lost is, did you ask these upper-level Republicans why they had this list?
Oh, absolutely. We first of all, the RNC won't talk to me.
Yeah.
And by the way, the RNC's response was to file a complaint with the BBC to try to get my behind fired from the network. And they even threatened BBC. They said, if Greg Palast is reporting for you, we will never let anyone at the RNC and the Republican Party speak to the BBC. So, you know, the idea is pressure. But what
deny access.
What they have been saying is, first, it's a fundraising letter to black voters, then it's just something to save them on postage by making sure we have the correct addresses. So why'd you send it to the National Research Director of the Republican Party? And finally, they've said, well, we think that these may be ineligible voters. Are you going to challenge them on Election Day? Are you going to violate the law? And they're like, well.
So these are just two of, like, any number of, like, there's an entire list of, like, identified dirty tricks and shenanigans that are going on. Stay here, because I want to ask you about other states, like we talked about before, your prophecy in terms of New Mexico and Nevada.
Absolutely. When we come back, more with Greg Palast, and we're also going to talk to Roy Zimmerman. No, not the head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the singer-songwriter, Roy Zimmerman, here on Air America Radio.
Planet Challenge. planet check.
Eco victory for Yellowstone Park. Federal Judge Emmett Sullivan says no go to snowmobiles.
The judge determined that the ruling of the Bush administration was in violation of the intent of the Organic Act of the National Parks. The levels of snowmobiles in either case were outrageously high.
That's Alfred Runty, author of National Parks, The American Experience.
The big environmental hazard has been to the wildlife and to the quality of the air. But there's a more fundamental issue, and that is, why have snowmobiles in the national parks in the first place? We're supposed to go there and enjoy nature.
The court ruling marks the beginning of a phase-out of snowmobiles in Yellowstone.
Snowmobiles are cut back in half for this year, from 900 to 460-some machines. Next year, there will be a total elimination of snowmobiles.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Take a ghoulish ride with the ghosts of Halloween Past each night this week on Sirius Radio Classics. Horror shows from the Fright Masters, Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, Vincent Price, and on Halloween Eve, it's Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. The classic War of the Worlds, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Us, the Masters of Horror, each weeknight on a special Fright Fest. All this week on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Igpe Atenle is a dialect designed to confuse. But if Pig Latin is easier to understand than the language spoken when buying a used car, I'll help translate the double talk when we come back. Hi, this is Bobby Likas. Your body relies on antioxidants to stay healthy. So does your vehicle. Oxidation in fuel and oil creates deposits. That means clogged injectors and sludge in your engine, causing costly breakdowns. Your service shop can reverse oxidation in your vehicle by adding BG's MI 3000 Plus and MOA at your next oil change. Ask your shop about BG products or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Need a quick course in Greek to buy a used car? Don't be confused, because I'm going to translate for you. Program vehicles are those that were allotted by car manufacturers to their executives. Off-lease vehicles are offered for sale by dealers at the expiration of a lease. And pre-owned or used vehicles are simply those that are traded in. One more translation. Here's how you say good deal. Pre-purchase inspection. Have your technician give your prospective vehicle a thorough check before you sign on the dotted line. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
It was way too much for my body, and I started tripping really, really bad. I curled up in a ball in a corner, started ripping out my hair, then slit my wrist with a steak knife. Fell into a coma and had to get my stomach pumped. I'm now in therapy in a rehab group. At school, I'm not even called by my name anymore. People just refer to me as that junkie.
This 15-year-old didn't die using ecstasy, though she probably wished she had. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Listen to someone just like you, enjoying the Sirius Satellite Radio experience right now.
Hi, my name is Amber, and I listen to Sirius from Columbia, Missouri. I love the channel options and all that Sirius has to offer. My husband and I got it a few months ago, and we couldn't be happier. So we encourage everyone to tell their friends about Sirius.
Hi, my name is Marita Trena. I'm from Rahway, New Jersey. I tell everyone about Sirius because here in New Jersey we have no country music station, and I love to listen to new country. I love your station. I love my Sirius.
Hi, this is Andrew from Long Island, New York. I just want to let you guys know I love Sirius. I have you on as I drive a taxi, and I have you on all the time, 12, 14 hours a day. This is just absolutely wonderful. Thanks for being there.
This is Dominique. I'd like to welcome my friend Chad Bone to the Sirius family.
Get Sirius for your friends at Sirius.com and click on Get Sirius.
If you're over 35, your bones and joints aren't what they used to be, and exercising only on weekends puts them at great risk of injury. The good news is you can reduce that risk by exercising at least 30 minutes every day. Always stretch and warm up for several minutes before any exercising session, and wear appropriate shoes and safety gear. Brought to you by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
4 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. Morning Sedition. Greg Palast is here. We're all hanging out. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 121.
Leaders
of Iraq. Yes, good morning. So your Prime Minister Ayad Alawi has decided to blame the U.S. for the massacre of 49 unarmed Iraqi National Guard recruits. He called it gross negligence. Yes, I know what you're thinking. We're pissed. We want revenge. No, not at all. Alawi's just taking a page out of our playbook. When something goes wrong, blame the other guy. Yeah, it's good politics. You know why George Bush has got him where he is today? Well, partly, mostly, because he's always shifting the blame. Have you ever seen that guy take responsibility for anything? Exactly. And you won't either. And even though he's committed one disaster after another, he might still win next week. And why? He blames the other guy. Here's one little issue, though. Timing. Now, Alawi can blame us for whatever he wants. We're us, you're you. What do we care? But if you just waited another week before you decide to embarrass Bush, you'd know if you were slamming an outgoing president or a guy you're going to have to deal with for four more years. Here's the thing about shifting the blame. Always blame the powerless. Now, don't take this wrong, but we blame you guys all the time. Why? Because we can. Does our blame hurt you? Really? No. You didn't even know about it until I just told you. All right. So go ahead. Spread the blame around. Here's a little tip. The next time something happens, blame Iran. We'll have your back on that one. So good luck and God bless. This is day 121 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. Greg Palast, New Mexico.
Hey,
how's it unfolding?
Greg Palast, New Mexico. Is there a town named after him?
Greg Palast, New Mexico.
There's going to be a state.
Postcard from
him?
Okay. Yeah. In my reports for BBC, I was going to go to New Mexico as well, where they are. It's not unfolding. It's being folded up by the Bush guys. Even though you have a Democratic Hispanic governor, you have these almost plantation-style operations where Hispanics and Native Americans and Indians their votes simply don't count. The way they set up machines, and this is the big story in the U.S., it's not covered, is that a lot of votes simply don't count. Again, I'm looking at New Mexico as another shoplifted state on November 2nd. Gore won it by 366 votes last time. They're not going to make that mistake again. We're seeing about a tenth of the vote in Native reservation areas and Indian reservation areas being lost on bad voting machines, and it's all wink-wink jobs. Hispanic votes aren't being counted.
Arizona as well?
Arizona is, that's going to happen in Arizona, but that's not so much a swing. In Colorado, shooting north, we have a new purge of felon voters, the illegal voters. But guess what? What I find most interesting about the felon purge this week in Colorado is that it's not illegal in Colorado for felons to vote. So who are they purging? And the law says you can't do it just before an election. That's federal law. But, once again, I'm sure Ashcroft will cuff the Republican Secretary of State there. So we got a Western Kate Harris out there in Colorado making sure that the white guys or the right guys win. And then we moved to Ohio, of course, and then of course back around to Florida. If you remember last time I was with you, I told you about the case of Willie Steen.
Yeah.
He's a veteran who was named a criminal felon, couldn't vote last time in the 2000 election. The story I uncovered with 93,000 people, mostly black, called felons and removed from the voter rolls. Well, guess what? Most of them are still removed from the voter rolls. And so we went down to take Willie Steen in to vote. Except some of my colleagues in the U.S. press, knowing about the story, called the Republican officials and said, are you going to let Willie Steen vote this time, this guy Willie Steen?
Yeah.
Right? And believe it or not, when our cameras came down, literally minutes before he was about to vote, suddenly and miraculously his status changed from felon to upright citizen. But here's the interesting shot.
Wow.
The guy has, even the state has given us paper saying the guy has never been arrested.
Yeah.
The guy is clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
And just to give him a little shot, they said, oh, he's committed misdemeanors.
Oh, police!
But so they let him vote, though.
They let him vote because they had no choice. The cameras are walking in.
Wow,
they changed his status.
It takes that much work just to get one guy. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so at least I'm glad for Willie, but what's happened is that there's literally tens of thousands of people, once again, who are barred from voting there in Florida. We've got intimidation there. We've got, you know, and when you say Corinne Brown is prepared, when, you know, one thing she's done, she's my biggest, because she's bought 1,000, literally bought 1,000 copies of Bush Family Fortune.
Where can you get that?
And you know, it's like she's like carpet bombing the Jacksonville area to say, look, don't let it happen again.
And you can get that at Air America Radio.
Air America Radio, absolutely.
And you can get your book there, too. Are these you, too?
Oh, yeah, the Joker's Wild Cards, George Bush's
where do you get those?
Deck of cards. You can get them at www.gregpals.com or Air America right on your website.
All
right.
And also, before we go, quickly, what do you see for the projection of this year's election? Who's going to win, Greg?
Well, we know he's going to win. My projection is that Kerry will win, but Bush will be inaugurated again. We're going to have shoplifting in Florida, New Mexico, Colorado, and Ohio. We've got four states that watch. Bush will win by about 1.5%, and the margin of shoplifted votes is about 3-4%. If you see those states go in that area, you know what happened, guys.
Grim, he called it here first. Greg Palace, thank you for being with us. Always great to
appreciate
see you.
Appreciate it, Greg.
Okay, thanks to the Mark Brothers.
We had the Mark Brothers.
There you go.
There you go, the Mark Brothers.
We're going to be back with Roy Zimmerman to sing a couple of funny songs after this. You're listening to Air America Radio at 40 past the hour.
Hey, want a t-shirt with me and Riley on it? Go to MorningSedition.com to check out our full line of Morning Sedition merchandise.
45 million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering health care costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and health care costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of health care.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
Hi, this is Al Frank, and I care about who's elected president on November 2nd. And it's never been more important who we choose for the future of America. So listen up. Right now, the polls in the Buckeye State show a deadlock, and the fact of the matter is, it's all going to come down to the ground game and who wants it more. You know, Paul Wellstone used to say that the future belongs to those who are passionate and work hard. Well, the future is in your hands, and I'm asking you to be passionate and work hard by contributing your time and money to the Ohio Democratic Party. Go to OhioDems.org. OhioDems.org. That's not hard to remember, is it? OhioDems.org. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves to save money for a rainy day. This is it. This is that rainy day. We can't let these people take this country in the wrong direction for 4 more years. Do yourself, your children, your country a favor. Volunteer or write a check by going to OhioDems.org.
This ad is paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Dennis White Chair.
It was 1979, Pittsburgh. I was 14. Me and Dad used to grill hot dogs in the backyard and listen to the ball game on the radio. This one particular night in October, it was just me and Moms. You see, Pop played for the Pirates, and he was about to hit the longest home run I'd ever seen. Bringing him back from a 3-1 deficit and winning the last World Series of the decade. I'll never forget that moment, and this year, I'm going to share that with my kids.
The World Series is on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120.
Is your child included in your activities? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our world today, it seems like we often segregate children from our daily living. We separate the kids from the adults at events we attend, in sports we play, at church, and at work. If we really want our children to learn from us, then it is absolutely necessary that they see us in our regular routine. We need to keep them joined at the hip. Let's teach our children life's lessons by including them when we do housework, yard work, run errands, and even at work when possible. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Soon, all over-the-counter medicines will have one thing in common.
Simplicity. That's because all over-the-counter medicines will feature new, easier-to-read labels that clearly show their ingredients, uses, warnings, and directions. Because if there's one symptom we all want to relieve, it's confusion. For more information, call the Food and Drug Administration at 1-888-INFO-FDA. That's 1-888-INFO-FDA. The new label. It's clearly better. Speak out on Sirius.
Call and tell us how you got a friend to get Sirius.
Hi, this is Mike Jones in Bakersfield, California. I got Sirius about 3 months ago, and I have not put a CD in my CD player since. A lot of my friends that ride with me, they've all listened to the Sirius stations that I've listened to. They love the selection, the playlist. I know two or three of my friends that have jumped over and been debating between the XM and the Sirius brand, and after listening to the stations that I listen to, they've all jumped with the Sirius brand, and I think it's one of the best things that I've invested in, and I want to thank you guys. Thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Joe in Mesa, Arizona, and I've had Sirius for over 2 years. I would like to welcome my neighbors, Brian and Becky, who got Sirius about satellite radio and hooked up with the dog. Welcome to Sirius, Brian and Becky. Thanks a lot.
Get Sirius for your friends at Sirius.com.
And click on Get Sirius.
It's going to be bumpy. It's 45 past the hour. It's Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. My buddy Roy Zimmerman's going to be singing a tune or two for us in a minute, but I want to take this quick call. Could we? Hello, caller. Ted in Nebraska.
Hi, Mark and Mark.
Hi. Yeah, how you doing?
Once again, the liberal media is spinning the truth for their own misguided political agenda.
Oh, man. Wait a minute. Wait, it's happening again. It's happening. Oh, my God.
Other pleasures are not.
And now, live from Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservative's way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Yeah, good morning, neocons. It's 20 after the hour here on Radio Halliburton. Halliburton, we're good at spending your money. Six more days and I got election fever. I can't hold it. I can't hold it. Oh, I'm gonna... Oh, yeah. That was my latest poll. And look who Kerry has campaigning for him. Bill Clinton. One's a flip-flop, the other's a zip-flop. Hey, oh, President BJ. Aren't you supposed to be dead? We've got his speech right here. I'm Bill Clinton. Yeah. It's 21 past the hour. Campaigning for our team is Rudy and the Governator.
Game over, man.
That's
Game
right.
Over.
Surrender, monkeys. Arnie's going to fill you up like a hot co-worker and bend you over the hood of his Hummer. Right? Hasta la vista, liberal. It's 22 past the hour. Hey, let's take a call. You're on the air, caller.
Oh, those damn liberals.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Right you are, caller. Hey, Kerry. All right, good for you. Hey, Kerry Ferries, I feel some greenhouse gas coming on. Here we go. Here it comes. There you go. Whoa, it's time to take 4 more years to get the smell out of here. Which reminds me, 4 more years, that's right. Hey, it's 24 after the hour, time for the Neocom Power Weather Forecast. The radar says outside it's 55 and partly cloudy, but under Clinton's desk, it's 82 and humid. Looks like it could blow at any minute. Whoa, whoops, sorry, Monica. Stick around, Neocons. We'll be back with Toby Keith. 4 more years, 4 more years, 4 more years, 4 more years, 4 more years. Whoa. Whoa.
Patriot, we'll be back with Right and Early.
Wow, what just happened, man? What just happened?
I don't know.
Man, that was weird.
You okay?
I don't know, man.
You all right?
Should we go off the air?
I don't know.
Wow. So, hey, anyways, hey, Roy, man, it's good to see you. How you doing, Roy?
Good morning. Yeah, hey. It was a nightmare sequence.
Yeah, I mean, that is unbelievable. Sometimes I don't know what comes after me. So now you're going to be at the Cornelio Street Cafe tonight at 8, or Friday.
Friday,
at
yeah.
And your music is available where before you start singing?
RoyZimmerman.com.
There you go. So what tune are you going to play?
I'm going to do a thing, you know, about a week before the Republican convention, Bush said that he thought that Kerry's war record was more heroic than his own.
Right.
And I thought, you know, sometimes satire just writes itself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Bok, 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 bok.
is this another Vietnam? I said, son, you know, it's, well, it's, no, it's, go ask your mom. It brought back such precious memories of my days in business school, my favorite stool. Then my wife said, hey, I'm worried because they're starting to deploy. I said, honey, don't be silly. We'll send someone else's boy because we all make sacrifices. And in a war, that's what the poor people are for. I said, fight on for freedom's sake, long as I don't shake and bake. Chicken hawk, call me a chicken hawk. Proud to be a chicken hawk, a loyal armchair jock. Let's check that Lockheed stock. I didn't walk the walk, but I could talk the talk. Bawk, 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 bawk. Just because you might have seen some action there on the front line, don't insult the guys who serve their country here on the back nine. I was gung-ho for gun and ho, but I just had other priorities, like feeling more at ease. I said, bomb them to hell, but I'd rather not be Kentucky Fried. Chicken hawk, call me a chicken hawk. Chicken hawk, proud to be a chicken hawk. Watch while I bring to mock a receipt to all Iraq. I didn't walk the walk, but I could talk the talk. Bawk, 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 bawk. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, I'm telling you, part. The chicken crossed the road to join the Texas Air National Guard. Roll call. Bush, bark. Card, bark. Roll, bark. Ashcroft, bark. Rumsfeld, bark. Earl, bark. Wolfowitz, bark. Cheney, go back yourself. O'Reilly, Hannity, Hume, bark, bark, bark. Bennett, Crystal, Limbaugh, Hastert, Gingrich, Lot, Delay, bark, 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 bark. Chicken hawk, call me a chicken hawk. Proud to be a chicken hawk. Watch while I bring him back a receipt to all Iraq. I didn't walk the walk, but I could talk the talk. Bark, 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 bark. Let me make this perfectly clear. The box stops here.
Yeah. Wow, man, you do a really good chicken. I got to be honest with you. This is good. That's Roy Zimmerman. You can get his CD at royzimmerman.com. And you got some. You got the Cornelius Street Cafe coming up on Friday. That's here in New York City. If you are listening to WLIB in New York, we now have traffic and weather, so stay with us at all times.
Yeah.
You want to do another song, Roy?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Okay, what do you got this time? You got a new one?
Let's do Defenders of Marriage. Let's do a marriage
song. Okay, good, great, great, great. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, all set?
Yeah.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Oh. Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, to people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now, a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married. Every time we think about same-sex parents, oh my gosh, we exclaim. I mean, to people who want to provide a protective and nurturing family environment, have they no shame? So deviant. It's the Lord's holy word, as my second wife said to my third, that a family's based on obligation and fear. We're defenders of marriage, and you feel narcs,
ever vigilant and patriotic, patriarchs, defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who wanna get married. One summer evening when my woman was doing laundry, I shared a six-pack with an old John Bircher, and oh so wisely he imparted an ancient quandary to ponder. He says, nature versus legislature. Are people born gay or do they turn gay just to piss off Dick Army? We're an army of dicks with a militant stance. Let's get the government out of our lives and into our pants. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married and have their insurance carried and be beneficiaried and be next to the ones they love when they are buried.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, Roy. So what else? Where you been playing lately?
I've been playing it. I played last night at the Symphony Space here in town.
Oh, yeah, it's a great room. The small theater, the Thalia Theater over there?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great, man.
It's a beautiful space.
I did a show there not too long ago. I'm doing another one in February.
Wrong with preaching to the converted, right?
Well, yeah, I would think that there's nothing wrong with that at all. But, you know, when Kerry does get in office, I imagine you're going to take some shots at him.
Oh, no. When he's elected, there'll be no more malfeasance, no more incompetence. Everything will be cool, right?
Come on. So now, when I worked with you last, where were we? Cameron, where was that? That huge theater we did?
Cleveland.
Chicago.
Chicago,
Illinois.
Yeah.
That's right.
Illinois. Skokie.
Have you ever come across it? Did you ever write a song that was completely sort of like the audience just went, no, it's too much? You can't do that.
Over the edge?
Yeah.
No, not that I can recall. No, because that's the beauty of preaching to the converted.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah. You've never done a bit that people have like.
What are you kidding? I do one all the time.
Yeah,
I've been trying to do what's that bit I was trying to.
What's
tell?
Coming up soon?
Yeah, I got. I'm going to Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco this weekend, the 29th. What is this weekend? Now I've lost all my sheets. Everything's disorganized. I'm discombobulated. This Friday and Saturday, Cobb's Comedy Club. www.cobbscomedyclub.com. You can check that out. It's like it's a big show for it's a big show for stand up. It's going to be me and Will Durst and me and Kevin Rooney and me, more me. I'm stretching here because
so you're emceeing what you're saying?
I'm not emceeing.
Okay, right.
Here's the deal. It's going to be four comics, I think. We're all going to do about 20 minutes, and there's going to be some sort of improvisational roundtable, audience interaction. It's a big event. The other one was very popular. If you want to come, I welcome you. We're going out to San Francisco now, so hopefully people will show up for that. What do you got going? Why am I stumbling, Roy? Why am I stumbling?
I don't know.
Greg Pallas was here. He was someone was asking on the blog, shoplifting votes. He meant that the election will be stolen in those states. You know, when you talk to Pallas, sometimes it gets a little grim.
Well,
you
he
know
speaks
I mean?
In code. You know.
Yeah, he does. And he's got, he's a very interesting guy, Pallas.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about the show this weekend at Ophelia Cafe, Roy.
Cornelia Street Cafe, yeah. That's this Friday night at 8:30. It's 29 Cornelia Street.
Just you?
I'm a part of an evening for Music for America. Like, it's a get-out-the-vote kind of an effort.
Okay. Who else is going to be involved with that?
Oh, God, I wish I had that information here. It's like big-name jazz people is what it is.
Oh, of course, the big-name jazz people. That's
right.
Going to be a good event. So you go down and see Roy Zimmerman. All the big-name jazz people are going to be there. Roy, good to see you. Hopefully we'll work together soon. It's a pleasure having you. Go to royzimmerman.com if you want to get his numerous CDs.
Thank you so much, Mark and Mark.
Yeah. All right, I appreciate
good to see
it.
You. Yeah. Oh, there's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. You might want to write these down. These are your marching orders for today. Here we go. One, get breast implants. Call them your October surprise. Two, just for one night, pretend you really, really care about the Red Sox just to make Kerry happy.
Or Sox!
Yeah! K-Lo! Three, get involved in community politics in the swing state where you moved 30 days ago. Four, while investigating election fraud in Florida, go to Disney World. Make sure Goofy's vote is counted this time. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Six more days of this political stuff, man, and I'm back on the weed. God, I'm so stressed out. That's what we got going. So, Riley, what's up for tomorrow? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
We're all missing our sheets,
but
well,
hey.
Tomorrow's going to be another great show.
That's right. We got a show for you tomorrow. We're going to have some good guests. We're going to have some good commentary. We're going to have some good comedy bits. We're going to have the whole nine yards.
Perfect.
Perfect. Thanks again, man.
Thank you.
See you later, Riley.
See you tomorrow, man.
You bet, buddy.